o'clock at night, and adult dudes on the planet are sitting in their slippers, sipping their sherry. But the people who love to rock and to roll are ready to ride the rock and roller coaster once more. You are listening to Radio Rock, and I'm the Count, and I'm counting on you as we count down to ecstasy and rock all day and all of the night.
I'm not content to be with you in the daytime. Girl, I want to be with you all of the time. The only time I feel alright is by your side. Girl, I want to be with you all of the time. All day and all of the night. All day and all of the night. Oh, come on.
You're listening to Nowhere Moment. Television, pop culture, it's where you find it.
So anyway, I got my gun drawn, right? And I got to point it right at this guy. And I tell him, freeze, don't move. And this little idiot's looking right at me, nodding his head, yeah, and he's saying, I know. But meanwhile, his right hand is creeping towards the glove box. And I scream at him. I go, asshole, I'm going to blow you away right now. Put your hands on the dash. And he's still looking at me, nodding his head, you know, I know, buddy. And meanwhile, you know, his hand is still going for the glove box. And I said, buddy, I'm going to shoot you in the face if you don't put your hands on the fucking dash. And then this guy's girlfriend, this real sexy Oriental bitch, you know, she starts screaming at him, Chuck, what are you doing? Listen to the officer and put your hands on the dash. So, you know, then like nothing, the guy snaps out of it and casually puts his hands on the dash.
What was he going for?
His fucking registration.
Ha! You're kidding.
No, man, stupid. The citizen doesn't know how close he came to getting blown away. That close, man.
You know how to handle that situation. Just shoot your pants and dive in and swim. Yeah.
Sir, that's what we're going to do, sweetheart. We're going to go and get some. Hey.
All right, people, on the ready line. Okay, yeah. Are you me?
Yeah! Yeah.
Are you me?
Yeah! Yeah.
Where are you? Get on the ready line, Marine! Get down the door! Get on the ready line!
Yo!
Move it out, Captain! Get hot! One, two, three, four! Get out! Move it out!
Absolutely badasses! Let's pack them in! Get in there!
Malikwa. He's a strong role model that a young black reader can look up to. Because I'm here to tell you, the chickens is coming home to roost, y'all. The black man's no longer going to play the minstrel in the medium of comics and sci-fi fantasy. We keeping it real. And we going to get respect by any means necessary.
Come on. That's a bunch of horse shit. Ain't no Calrissian was a black guy, you know. He got to fly the Millennium Falcon. What's the matter with you?
Who said that?
I did. Lando Calrissian is a positive role model in the realm of science fiction fantasy.
Lando Calrissian. Only some white boy got to invoke the Holy Trilogy.
get it on. You know it.
I'm ready, man. Ready to get it on.
Yeah! Woohoo! Yes! Hey, everybody! Welcome to Mulberry. Hey, I'm the Jay Shroom. Welcome to our show, a film, television, pop culture type show where we talk every Friday about stuff that we love. How's it going? I don't do the show alone. I also do it with PCZ Steven. Steven, the pop culture zealot. How's it going, Steven?
Going very well today, thank you.
Laura is not here. She is with us in spirit, though. I believe she's listening in the chat room. And we also have here Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian. How's it going, Bill?
Hello,
Bill. Welcome to the show. We're here to talk about stuff we like, and let's get down to it, Bill, right?
All right.
You know, Bill, we were talking last week about different plans. You know, basically, I just throw things off. You're a dartboard, and I throw things off of you, you know.
And it hurts a lot.
See what sticks. Like, if a good idea, it sticks. Bad ideas, they just bounce off, though, right?
No, they hurt, too.
But, you know,
it's not as sharp as pain, but
we talked about our NIMH commentaries, which we're working on, and we've got some plans that I'm excited about. And we've also come up with another idea, and I want to talk about it a little bit, where basically we will one thing, anybody who's listened to the show for a long time knows that we don't really do movie reviews. You know, we generally just talk about a movie, and if we've seen the movie, it's usually like a week later. Mm-hmm. You know, Bill, you sometimes see a movie right when it comes out, like on a Friday before the show.
Yes, I go with all the old people to the early bird showing.
The early bird.
The old
matinee.
That's what they call it, early bird.
And every once in a while it'll happen where we all see a movie and we talk about it, but we don't really review it. I mean, there are a lot of movie review podcasts out there, and they do what they do, and that's awesome. Sometimes I'm a little jealous. I wouldn't mind doing some old school film discussion. Like back in my 20s when I was excited about film, Steven,
when we did worked on a little independent film.
Yeah, I wouldn't really call that. Yeah,
Or videos, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't. That just turned me off of the whole thing. But I'm just talking about like an interest, a genuine love of movies where I get excited. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I think hanging around with a lot of the film students or they make videos and stuff, that made me like less interested. I'm serious. It like cut the cord for me.
After your experience on Andy Anderson's Detention, it kind of ruined everything.
Well, by then I wasn't really talking to him, but I knew the people who worked on it. But I heard enough Kubrick talk to just turn me off of the whole thing, you know? Yeah,
When you get into the Kubrick stuff, you get into this like certain level of pretentiousness where they think they know what he was trying to achieve stuff.
Yeah, and it almost comes to the point where I want to watch the movie, and if it's good, it's good. I don't want to know what Kubrick was thinking of. I think he was a weird dude, you know?
he lived in his basement and died a lonely man.
I guarantee you, most likely, he wouldn't want to spend 2 minutes talking to you about his movies either, you know?
No shit, yeah. Well, I mean, when you're a creative person like that, you don't want to deal with some, wannabe filmmaker critic and be like, oh, I see what you were going with here.
Some people are good about it, but I almost picture him like not interested. You know, he moved to another country. He didn't want to be a part of it, right?
Exactly. I think that's saying something.
He's moved on from that film. He's on to the next thing.
Yeah. Some people are like that. Like, they even talk about some musical artists. They don't like to talk about, like, so what were you thinking when you wrote the song? And they're just like, ugh. You know, they don't want to talk about it. But anyway, but my point is...
I was in a really bad place. I can bring it up again.
But my point is, Bill, is I kind of want to do a quick show, when we see a movie and we're excited about it and we're all juiced up, itching to talk about it. We hit record, we talk about it for 30 minutes or so, and then it's done. That's its own show right there.
That's it.
It's called, my working title is a NIMH Movie Minis, huh? 30-minute show, just a film discussion.
That is a lot of consonants and vowels.
It's in and out, right? And you download it, you're like, hey, they talked about X-Men this week. Hey, let's listen to that. And it's over, you know? So who cares what the name is? Well, you'll know it when it comes out. Yeah, I'm just saying working time. That's one of the ones that bounced off your head, Bill.
Oh, yeah, you know. That hurt. Yeah, so it must have worked.
We really want to be productive this summer. So,
really, we just want to get paid.
Yeah, and there's another thing. This is kind of an experiment, too, where using our hosts, you can put ads on certain things. And I think we'll put an ad on that and see how it does, you know, instead of our big show.
So download it.
Yeah, download it when it comes out and tell us what you think. Just a film discussion. No, you know, none of our other stuff. We won't talk about Cake Boss on it, all right?
Promise.
Now, Bill, something else exciting happened.
Unless Buddy's in the film.
Yeah, if Buddy's in the movie, we'll talk about his performance.
If Buddy's in the movie, why are we watching it?
Cake Boss, the movie. Bill, let's talk about E3. E3 was this week, which is always exciting if you play video games. It's really cool.
Yes, it is.
They announced new games. They announced new products.
It's the Gamer Super Bowl.
Tell me right now what...
That was in Vegas, right?
You were...
No, L.A.
L.A.
L.A. this time.
Okay. It was at the Staples Center, I believe, wasn't it?
A bunch of places. You know, they go all... Like the theaters for the press conferences and everything. It's all over the place.
Tell me right now, Bill, what most hit you, you're most excited about out of all the announcements? Mm-hmm. I mean, what?
Not a whole lot, honestly. There's nothing off the top of my head that I go, ooh. I mean, I'm excited to see what comes of the Nintendo console, the Wii U, which I hope they really change the name of. Because even somebody pointed out somewhere, I can't remember where, God, I'd give him credit. But you remember Kung Pao, Enter the Fist, the
yeah.
Where the girl's always going, Wii U. And that's it. Just every time I hear Wii U, I can't help but think of that. It's such a horrible name.
Why now? Why did they go with that name? What is that? What I mean, it's motion control, right? Is it motion control or?
I think it's partly motion control. I honestly was so confused by their press conference because all they showed was the controller, and I'm thinking it's a handheld. It's like a new handheld console.
I thought it was like a unit and you had this handheld like touchscreen thing.
No, that's what it is. I was confused. I didn't know what the hell was going on. I was all pissed off like, oh man, they're just making a handheld console. This sucks. But then I started reading about it and it's a unit that the controller has its 6.2-inch touchscreen on it. Which, I mean, and front and rear-facing cameras and all this goofy shit. And, I mean, let's hope they slim some of it down a little bit. I can understand touchscreen controller, but that's going to be so expensive.
Okay, so it's not a unit that plugs into the TV, you just hold it?
No, it is. The controller has a touchscreen.
Oh,
what they're going to use the touchscreen for, I have no idea. Like maybe inventories on stuff.
You can take
itself, you can actually play the games on it.
Can you play the system without that touchscreen thing?
I don't know.
Like, can you? Oh, I guess what I should say is, can you take the touchscreen with you, like somewhere, and play on that?
No,
it's
not like
a handheld portable gaming thing that you also play on.
No, it's just a controller with a touchscreen,
and it's called the Wii U.
Wii U.
Why didn't they give it a different name?
I don't know. I think the only other thing that got worse was the Sony has a new next generation portable, which everyone was just calling it the NGP, and they announced it's called the PlayStation Vita. And they're like, Vita means light.
Racer.
it was about as disastrous as that.
I love that guy. Hey, we got a new game, guys.
Ridge Racer.
Yeah, it's exciting. So, okay, basically I was confused by everything, I guess.
Yeah, I think the things I'm most excited for are a handful of games. The one I'm probably most excited for is BioShock Infinite, the original BioShock, and that's who's working on this one.
And didn't they make a BioShock 2 that wasn't even made by the same people or something?
No, it wasn't made by the same people. It was... It really wasn't very good. It wasn't a very good game.
So now this new BioShock is by the people who did the original?
Yeah, BioShock Infinite is made by the original people.
Cool. Okay.
Irrational Games, the head is Ken Levine.
Now, the only thing I watched was the Xbox presentation, most of it. And, you know, they had a lot of Kinect stuff on there. Which is neat if you have a Kinect, I guess, but I don't, so.
I have a Kinect. I've never unboxed it.
Oh, my God.
It is still sitting in my living room on top of one of my tower speakers with two games on top of
it.
So there's no game yet
that's excited you enough to play it.
No. But I'm too fat and lazy.
But when are they going to come out with, you know, what would you call it? Game. I mean, it's like a Star Wars game. They've got that, right?
They previewed that, and man, did that look cool. The worst thing about the Kinect demos during the Microsoft thing was it was pretty much all Kinect demos. And I'm just not – I don't care about motion control gaming. I think it's a gimmick. Give me a controller. Let me shoot some shit, and that's it. You know, I don't – care.
I mean,
to like
am I right
my hand,
in thinking,
my microphone.
Am I right in thinking that something like that is fun, a big group of people, maybe like during the holidays, but you're not gonna play this shit all the time.
You're gonna play it once or twice a year and then put it away for the rest.
I want to sit there with a controller, you know, and play.
Yeah. Like they were even the sad thing is Microsoft is even trying to push it into other games like Mass Effect 3, which I'm hugely excited for. I love the Mass Effect games. They are, to use an overused word, epic. They're just the story, the
giant
graphics.
Enemy crab.
There are no giant enemy crabs in it. But it's just a great game.
If there was a giant enemy crab, how would you kill it?
Attack you would weak point. For massive damage.
But you have to flip it first.
You have to flip it with Benkei here.
With Benkei. But yeah, they connect. They've like pushed it into Mass Effect 3. You know, you always have two partners, or almost always have two partners in it, and you can direct them where to go, like where to take cover, move up, move back, you know, with me, all that stuff.
The only thing I would want a voice activation. Sorry, Bill. I was thinking like voice commands on a game.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's like you can say, Garrus, move up.
Well, I would want, like, the phone rings, and I'm like, Jesus, pause! And then I have to get up, you know, something like that.
Yeah, that's understandable. I can totally go along with that.
But I can easily hit the little button, the start button.
With the Kinect, you have to go, Xbox!
Now, I believe Andy, who's that guy on the Bravo? Remember on the Top Chef finale, he was like, Xbox, play video. He already had a working one. Where did he get that from?
What, the Kinect?
Yeah, he already had a voice-activated Kinect.
Well, no, that's been around since the beginning of it.
Oh, so you can, right now, could you turn on your, plug in your Kinect, and you could use it to play videos on your Xbox by voice commands?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that.
That's been around for a while. Oh, but cool. Not commands in games.
I'm going to shoot you in the face.
Okay. I'm excited about Battlefield a lot.
Oh, God, it looks gorgeous.
I'm like, is this on a new Xbox system? Because
as they go, you know, once they learn the what the? Wow, that was murdering of that word. Once they learn I can't spit it out. I think I'm having a stroke right now on the show.
How about this? Once they squeeze everything they can out of it, that's what they're doing. They're taking it and they're pulling everything they can out of the Xbox, the performance.
Yes. Yeah.
They're squeezing more and more performance out of it. And
which they have yet to do with the PlayStation 3 because it's so infinitely difficult program.
Yeah, that's what I've always heard about the PS3, that it's a big pain in the ass to program for, but it's got a lot of, potential.
It's got a shit ton of power in it, and it's just so, so, so difficult that a lot of times when they port games over, because they're two completely different platforms.
Yeah.
With Xbox, you have a Power PC processor and an ATI graphics processor.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a completely different architecture to the PS3, which is a cell processor. And I
shoot your pants and dive in and swim.
Yeah, and a lot of times games like Bayonetta is one in particular that the version for the Xbox is fantastic and the version for the PS3 just looks like shit.
Because they just couldn't do it?
No, they just don't have the tools to really properly transfer. If something's built on the Xbox base, it's never going to transfer to the PS3 properly.
I'm waiting for the Xbox CD, the peripheral you plug into the side. That's lots of full motion video games. That would be awesome.
And they could do like a redo of Sewer Shark.
Yeah, Sewer Shark 2.
Ground Zero Texas 2.
Cannibal Corpse 2. Or what was that called? Corpse Killer.
Corpse Killer.
And also
Mad Dog McCree 2. Night Trap 2. Well, that's a dangerous game.
Yeah, it is.
Women are raped and murdered in that game.
It's not good. Yeah.
No.
But what are we talking about? But, Bill, are you excited about Halo 4?
You know what? Bungie is the company that made every Halo game up until this point.
Right.
Halo is a Microsoft-owned property. So once Bungie separated itself from it, Microsoft now created a new studio, 343 Industries, to create a new trilogy of Halo games.
Okay.
Until I see what they're doing, I'm a little weary, because Bungie's got a certain quality to what they put out.
Yeah.
Even though Halo, what was the one with just the normal soldiers? I can't remember. The one before Halo Reach was a little, wasn't very good. But still, yeah, I'm not really excited for Halo 4. I can honestly say I wasn't that excited about anything this year. Nothing made me go, holy crap.
The Battlefield stuff did. I mean, because I love the Battlefield Bad Company games. This is just Battlefield, though. But it looks awesome.
And it's a co-op single-player campaign.
Yeah, so that's awesome. I mean, how bad could they mess up a Halo game, Bill? What would they add to it?
Giant enemy crab.
Oh.
Bad thing.
That would be bad,
always
wouldn't
bad
it?
Thing.
Bill, flip it over. Let's hit his weak point.
Attack
massive
weak point
damage.
For massive damage.
Hit it with a grenade. This is
in
just like
ancient Japanese battle. On history.
Hey, I remember this from Japanese history. That's awesome. So that is. And the Xbox will be able to stream YouTube and stuff like that, but who cares? Everything.
Yeah, that's one of those things where you're like, woohoo! Oh, and they added Bing to it.
Yeah.
So with your Kinect, you can go, Bing, search Harry Potter.
Yeah, and Bing, search porn or something like that. You know.
Bing, search you're worthless. No one uses you.
Aw, poor Bing.
No, Bing sucks.
I'm going to blow you away right now.
Oh, my gosh. Now, guys, hey, we've got some voicemail, Bill. Let's check this out. Go ahead.
In the Batman Arkham City, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
They released with Catwoman.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Man, oh, man.
That looks awesome. I can't wait to play that. It's pretty hard to fathom that I had Batman Arkham Asylum for over a year, and I never even opened it. And then when I opened it, I was like, what was I waiting for?
I told you. I remember whenever I was playing it, and I was like, man, this thing makes me feel like Batman. I'm Batman.
Yeah, it does. And I finally mastered fighting where I don't even get beat up or anything, and I'm just kicking ass. Guy with a knife, disarm him immediately, flip him over, stuff like that.
Well, I remember the final part with Harley Quinn, whenever you were there's like a, what is it? It's an electrified area.
Right. Playing that. Uh-huh.
Yeah, they would send like five guys out at once.
Yeah.
And I remember you're like, man, I hate this.
I was stuck on it for a while till I figured it out.
Yeah, you just have to time it right and get the, because those guys come out with weapons.
Yeah.
And I think that's the first time in the game that they actually have weapons.
Yeah, and there's different parts. There'll be like one guy in a group that has a weapon, so it's not that bad. But this, like, multiple guys do, and you're like, crap! Yeah. But it's, when I watch the Arkham City trailer and they show Catwoman wiggling her ass and she's walking towards the bad guys and they're like trying to fight her or whatever and you're just kicking ass, I was like, oh, yeah.
Oh. Wait until you get to the end. There's a fight that you don't necessarily have to engage in, but if you do, there's an achievement for it, and it's like 30 guys at one time.
Awesome. I'll do that.
Yeah, it's really fun. It took me two or three times to get it.
Awesome. I can't wait to get more. Right now, I'm right on the part where I'm fighting Poison Ivy, and she's on this giant flower thing and shooting things, and then the thorns come up and they try to grab you. Jump out of the way
so many times. That's the part I died the most in, because I just couldn't. The timing really doesn't matter as much as just dodging.
Well, what's funny is I will get where I have a sliver of life left, and the plant has a sliver of life, and I'm like, come on, come on! And then I'll get hit one more time, and you see Batman, oh! And then you see, like, whenever you die in the game, the villain, whoever you're fighting, walks up to you, you know, sashays up to you and goes, too bad, Batman. Well, Poison Ivy, she's all sexy, and she, like, sidles up to you, like, sorry, Batman. And you're like, you know, just done it so many times, or I've seen that animation, or it's driving me crazy. But it's a fun game,
and that's a really tough battle, because you have to fight. There's like two or three times you have to knock her out of that flower or something.
Yeah, you have to throw your batarang as it's open.
Yeah,
but that's cool. All right, Bill, let's play a voicemail. This one was from Sean. Let's check it out.
Hey, Nowhere in Mulberry, it's Sean in L.A. It's so great to hear you guys back again last week. Excellent show. I cannot wait for you guys to start pumping out those NIMH commentaries. No matter what the movie is, I will get them. Because for the last holiday pack, you guys did Lethal Weapon 3, and I haven't even seen Lethal Weapon 3. But I listened to that commentary, and it was comedy gold. So I'll definitely be checking those out whenever you guys put those out. Yeah, last week's episode was great. There was one point when you guys were talking about the stuntman, and you mentioned Peter O'Toole, and I think he said that he was dead, but I don't think that he is.
He's
still kicking around somewhere. I caught Super 8 yesterday, and while it wasn't a perfect movie, I did love it, and it was great. It was just a special movie, you know? Really, really special. I really enjoyed it, and I can't wait to see it again, and hopefully you guys see it soon. Anyway,
spoilers.
Have a good show tonight. I'll talk to you guys later. All right. Love you. Bye.
Thanks, Sean. And when you said that, I was like, did I say Peter O'Toole was dead? Why did I think that? I know John Barry died recently, and I don't know.
Peter O'Toole's really freaking old.
If he's not dead, I can't believe he's not. I know he had bad health for a while, but that's great he's not dead. But sometimes
Richard Harris is dead.
Yeah, and they were, like, great friends.
Yeah.
So maybe
I think it kind of counts.
Yeah, like Dumbledore, and they replaced him, and that guy has never been the same Dumbledore. Come on.
Michael Gambon, no, he didn't have the Richard Harris gravitas.
But when you said that, Sean, I was like, what? Sometimes I just say shit on the show, you know? Don't. Just like,
no research.
I'm just talking and talking and talking, and, you know, just a lot of diarrhea of the mouth, you know what I'm saying? But
don't correct us. Just let us go on.
Now, about the Super 8, I'm glad you didn't spoil anything, because I don't want anything spoiled. And
I almost think what he said is too much of a spoiler.
I don't think he spoiled anything.
It's pretty good. Special movie.
But one thing that, Sean, you know I love you, but you said that one thing that everyone says that kind of drives me nuts, where you start talking about a movie with, it's not a perfect movie, but I know we've all done it. We've all done it. You know, somebody in your family asks you, hey, what'd you think? Well, it's not perfect, but you got to ask yourself, what is a perfect movie? Just name it. Whatever it is, somebody else doesn't think that's a perfect movie. It's just a matter of opinion.
Think single movie that doesn't drag a little bit at some point.
Well, I was thinking perfection. What are you are you talking about perfect pace, perfect effects, perfect performance, perfect directing? You know, that's a very subjective word. Like, I pulled a clip from Aliens for the intro, right? Mm-hmm. One of my favorite movies of all time. Seen it hundreds of times. I've seen it so many times I don't even want to watch it anymore. That kind of movie. There are effects of the flying sequence of the dropship that are horrible in that movie, right? Yeah. They really are. Yeah. They're horrible. But the movie, the effects, they're fantastic. The alien, you know, the action, the guns, or everything, the music, everything is perfect in that movie. That's not perfect, though. So when you say it's not a perfect film, you know, like, what do you think of Aliens? Oh, it's one of my favorite movies of all time. It's not perfect, though. Do you see those flying sequences? You know, you don't say it. Just tell me what you think, you know? It's kind of hard not to do that because I think whenever you're talking to someone, you want to convey to them that it's good, but you don't want to say...
Oversell it?
You don't want to oversell it. Because how many times have you guys done this? You oversell something to someone, they're like, yeah, I liked it, but I don't see why Jim Cotta is that great. I mean, come on.
I realize that, you know, a long time ago, my movie tastes are very different than most.
Mm-hmm. I know, and if I talk to someone like... the differences just between my sisters in movies is completely different, you know? Just depends.
Mm.
Right, Bill?
Yeah, I'm just choosing not to talk about Super 8 at all until see.
That will be one of our NIMH movie minis, Bill.
Yes, it will be.
Yes, but
movie mini.
NIMH movie minis. Sean, thank you for that voicemail. And let's play another voicemail. This one from Rick. Let's check it out.
Hey, guys. Whoop, whoop.
Hey, Rick.
It's Rick again with another voicemail. And this one won't be about rape.
Oh, dear.
Man, I'd like to apologize about that. It just got, man, I'm trying to swallow some biscuits and drink beer into a voicemail at the same time. Man, I'm a
biscuits
multitasker, but... I'm failing at it.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, I don't want to bring it up again because, there's only so much you can talk about. So I just want to apologize. Like ages ago, I did some stand-up comedy. And one night, did my set. And
I'd love to hear
the MC got up and he apologized afterwards. He said, I'm sorry, this is, like an adult's thing, but he went a bit too far, and I apologize.
What did you talk about?
I don't know where the boundary is, and I apologize. But no,
it sounds
no
like
more
you threw him
that.
Under the bus.
Let's just move on, get back to the basics, like film, television, and pop culture, and no rape. I watched Drive Angry the other night. And my God, wasn't that some fun shit? that was terrible. But I watched it to the end, even though it was horrendous. Okay, no, it wasn't horrendous. You know, Nicolas Cage is a retard, and I've just lost all respect
for him.
That's
pretty harsh.
But that chick was hot, I guess. And that was the only reason I was watching it. Oh my God. Yeah. And, so it was good when she punched that naked chick, too. That was a good fight.
I haven't seen the movie. Have you guys?
No, but I'm going to watch it now.
So have a great show, guys, and I will talk to you next week, probably. I don't even right. Have a good one.
All right, Rick. Finish
Rick
your
from Australia.
Finish your biscuits and beer, all right?
Biscuits and beer.
Must be an Australian meal. It's like
it's cookies.
It's like bangers and mash, right, Bill? Biscuits and beer.
No, that would be... yes.
I'm going to prepare that on MasterChef. It's biscuits and beer. Oh, dear, oh, dear. Well, thank you, Rick. I wanted to see Drive Angry in 3D when it was in theaters just because it looked like stupid fun, you know? But I'll have to watch it on Blu-ray or whatever. All right, thanks a lot, Rick. And there is no Twin I Am number 5 this week. Crazy thing happened. Adam said Ross sent it. It was never in my inbox, never arrived. The parcel was late, I guess. The delivery guy never showed up with the package. So we'll just have to wait and see. Adam still says it's coming sometimes during the show, Bill. So maybe we'll play it at the end of the show.
All right. I'll believe it when I see it.
All right, guys. Let's check out Entertainment! Woo-wee! Yeah. Steven, were you trying to tell me something?
I thought you said 3 emails, voicemails.
Nope, just 2 voicemails.
Oh, I thought you said 3.
I never said a number. I'm pretty sure I didn't ever say
Steven's just making shit up now.
Now it's my turn. I'm now, making things up.
Now, Bill, this is where we just talk about movies that are coming out. The movie called... You know what? I keep having to mentally tell myself the movie is Super 8, like, before I say 8mm. Because we all know 8mm is a shitty Nicolas Cage movie.
Ooh, man.
With, oh, man, what was the guy's name in that? His stupid name.
Nick Cage?
No, the guy who, the Pancakes House guy from Fargo, he's in it, right? And they get this guy who kills the women in the movie.
Peter Stormare.
Yeah, Peter Stormare has this guy. Oh, I remember what it is now. The Machine.
Oh.
He goes,
well, that sounds really intense.
That's called The Machine. And he calls him up on the phone, and he's got a mask on. He's all scary. But later on, Nicolas Cage unmasks him. He's like a nerdy guy with glasses or whatever. So I ruined the movie, guys. Don't ever watch this movie. All right.
That movie's bad.
It is. It's a. It's. I almost killed myself when the movie's over. Then
Joel
I was like,
Schumacher.
Why am I need to kill myself? I need to go kill Joel Schumacher. He needs to die. Right? I mean, why am I?
Why did you make this?
Why?
I just don't understand what happened to the great films like DC Cab and St. Elmo's Fire,
Batman and Robin,
Flatliners,
shoot you in the face.
Tigerland, that's a pretty good movie.
Tigerland is a good movie.
I'm going to blow you away right now.
Hey. All right, Bill. So Super 8, you saw that. And we will,
I did.
We will be talking about that on a special show. But what else is coming out? How about that Moody movie?
Oh, God. Dude, I saw the commercials for it, and I was like, oh, that looks awful. Like, top dog levels of awful.
Now, what is the full name of that movie?
Judy Moody in the Not Bummer Summer. I just thought, like, no kid would see that commercial and go, ooh, I want to see that. Holy shit. There was massive amounts of children at the theater today.
Is it a book? It must be a kid's book. Because it's like how to eat fried worms or whatever. It's, you know, the wimpy kid. It's all
the wimpy kid.
They take those kids' books and they turn them all into movies. Right.
I have no idea, but man, oh man, oh man, what a freaking mess! I've never seen so many kids in my life.
But you know what?
That's gonna make so much money.
But you know what, Bill? That we did both see X-Men: First Class last week.
Yeah, we did,
and that's going to be our very first mini show that we do, and we're going to talk about that. But I will say this much: that I enjoyed the X-Men movie. And I don't know if this – I'm not going to speak for you, Bill, but I was kind of dreading that it might suck a little because the last two movies sucked, right?
Well, I talked to you – how many times I talked to you where I was like, man, I'm really not sure about this movie.
Right.
I have a real hang-up with Jane Goldman as a writer, and I saw she was on it. And
but
I just
is
like,
her name – I don't think her name's even in the credits, is it?
I don't know. I didn't notice. I was too into the movie to notice.
I'm not sure she's listed as one of the screenwriters. There are several people, though, that are. But the thing is, like, X-Men The Last Stand or even X-Men Origins Wolverine, just abysmal in quality. And then, you know, when the new X-Men was announced, like, they're going to do kind of a reboot or whatever, it's like, I'm not interested. It's kind of like when they announce, okay, they're going to reboot Spider-Man. It's like, I don't want to talk about this right now. I just don't want to talk about it. No, Jason,
it's
let's
too
talk
soon.
About it.
I'm
no,
not
it's
ready.
Like, I'm not interested right now. Okay. When it's in the theaters, then I'll go see it. But I can't talk about shit before it comes out, like, a year early. And that's one thing that, like, all these movie blogs do. And I understand... to generate excitement, you're excited about it, let's talk about it, you know, hey, 4 years from now, this so-and-so movies, I don't give a shit, you know,
yeah.
I can't care right now. It's the same thing with this George Lucas, how was like 5 or 6 years ago, we were talking about, hey, Bill, they're making a Star Wars TV show, live action, what's that going to be like? I wonder if they're going to do like a Battlestar Galactica, kind of like, you know, do it kind of serious quality or whatever. Oh, you know, let's talk about this. Spend oxygen. You know, let's waste oxygen talking about this horse shit. And then it comes out recently that George Lucas is like, you know, we haven't really been doing anything. You know, the power of myth. no, he's like, we have 50 hours on a shelf. And we're waiting for technology to catch up with us, so it costs like $5 to make it. So we haven't done it. And some people are like, 50 hours of this TV show has been filmed. Oh, I got to see this. No, dumbass. 50 hours of written garbage. Have you ever seen his notes from the first Star Wars, Bill? Where it's like talking about just gibberish and Mace Windu and the Journal of the Wills and shit?
The Journal of the Wills.
It's like just a bunch of horseshit. So he has 50 hours of him sitting on the shitter just jotting things down in a spiral. Okay,
so that's where he comes up with Gungans.
Yeah, Gungans. And oh, shit. Bring me some paper, Jet. I'm out of toilet paper in here. You know, something like that. That's just what I picture.
Where's my fat daughter that was in the background?
She's a Twi'lek. Yeah. So anyway, man, I went on a weird tangent there. What was I talking about? I was just talking about movies that...
Talking about Lucas taking shits and being equivalent to Star Wars.
So basically, when the X-Men came out, I was like, okay, I'll go see it. You know, Matthew Vaughn, I'm a fan of the guy. I really liked Layer Cake. I liked...
Layer Cake, love it.
I love Stardust. Great film. I mostly liked, what do you call it?
yeah, that's a great movie.
Now, Bill, I know that you kick ass. You didn't like it because it veered so much away from the comic. We've talked about that before.
I think it became soulless.
It is a very solidly made film, though. I mean, it's very well made, absolutely. Directed and all that. He did it without studio involvement. And in fact, I don't know if many people know this, Matthew Vaughn was supposed to direct X-Men The Last Stand. Except Fox kept dicking him around, like, you know, we need this out like this year, man. We don't have time to write a script. Just start filming, you know. It's like, huh? What?
He said, I'm not that type of director. Go hire Brett Ratner.
Yeah, and they did, and that's what they got. So we'll talk about that soon in our X-Men show. I hope you guys like that.
And it was excellent. Man, I love that movie.
It was a lot of fun. And well, we'll talk about all the other X-Men movies. And
We won't have time.
But what do we got coming up next week, Bill? What movies?
Next week we have the big release of Green Lantern.
Ah, yes, the Green Lantern. And I've gone from not that interested to more interested. And I can't get past that Martin Campbell has directed this. It has me very curious. And I almost like... Okay, there's a longer trailer out there now, and when I finally settled in, I'm like, okay, this is like an animated movie.
Mm-hmm.
I
agree.
I can get more on board with it. Before, it's just kind of like, oh, too much CGI, it's overkill, why is he in a CGI costume and stuff, but I think if I just, you know, Jason, just lay in the stream and just let the current carry you. Let it carry you away.
Can't fight the current. What you don't know is that stream is Ryan Reynolds' pee stream.
Oh!
It's true.
Oh, that's a nice, you know, calming quality about it, right?
It's sterile, don't worry.
Shouldn't you pass and dive in and swim?
Exactly. Now, guys, let's go ahead and check out TiVo. What do you say, Bill?
Let's check it out.
All right, guys. Let's do this thing. Now, guys, I want to apologize to you in advance for us covering Cake Boss. I almost do it now as kind of a habit. It's a way to play the clip. I can get up and stretch my legs, you know, Bill. You can, you know, blow your nose or something like that, right?
Yeah, I normally go to the bathroom during it.
Well, this week on Cake Boss, Anthony, he screwed up some sheet cakes, Bill.
Mm, don't tell him that.
And he just won't own up to it that he's done it. It's not his fault.
What the hell was that?
It's a strange
noise I made.
A yawn or something. I don't know what's going on. But
I thought he was trying to eat you. I thought he turned into a zombie.
He even took a bite out of my arm! Cake Boss.
Zombie Cake Boss.
All right, guys, let's check this out. Oh, and Buddy, he's making a Century 21 Earth cake or something. A gigantic planet Earth over a city.
Well, you know, they sell the Earth.
You know, there was a part in this where he goes, hey, where's Asia at? I don't see Asia nowhere.
It really is a bakery full of morons.
Let's check this out.
To represent all the different countries, we're going to cover the cake with different styles of houses from all over the world. Coming up out of the middle, we'll have a building with the globe on top
made out of Rice Krispie Treats covered with icing and fondant, and that's going to be spinning around.
Right, we'll have a teepee over
big
here.
Big sold sign with the Century 21 logo. And to feed all these people, we got 50 sheet cakes. It's going to be insane. The other big thing is how we're going to feed all these people. I mean, the main cake feeds about 1,000 people. We got to do about 4 times that. So I'm sending 50 full sheet cakes with the order. What's this a point?
Oh, my God.
But these sheets that Anthony baked are a mess.
Anthony's not putting enough in the pants.
Anthony, I mean, these things are just falling apart.
Yeah, I can see right through this sponge. Hello.
Where's Anthony?
Look, I didn't do nothing yet. Look, it's already cracked.
And I put enough.
I did exactly what you told me.
This is not even. Look in the middle.
There's really no need to. Yeah.
Dude, I'm putting what you told me to put.
There's no way that you spread the sheets evenly.
This is what I did, and now
spread them sheets.
My sheets don't come like that.
This has nothing to do with you.
So we gave Cousin Anthony the responsibility of doing the sheet cakes for this big delivery that's going to Las Vegas. He didn't pay attention, and now he's denying there's a problem.
Did you bake the sheets?
Yeah, I baked them.
Okay, this is unacceptable.
It's not so much of the cakes aren't right. I mean, we could fix that. The problem is that he can't even see what's wrong with the cakes.
I put batter in the pan.
He doesn't
have
the
oven
cake
for
eye.
28 minutes. Did exactly what they told me to do. Exactly what they told me to do. And there's a problem. I don't get it.
But
it's warm. It's going to break when you pick it up.
It's not that. It's cockeyed. Look at the divot.
That's
you don't see it. You know what, Anthony?
That's not
the
guy.
Nothing's your fault.
Yeah. What do you want me to tell you, dude?
I'm telling you, the next time you run sheets, if I see sheets like this, this is going to be trouble.
Oh.
Big trouble.
Fine.
Anthony doesn't really get mad. He just gets defensive. What's important here is that Anthony just realized he made a mistake. You know, it was his fault. Can't blame anybody else. Just fix it and move on.
There's only two words I want to hear. Okay, boss, that's it.
Sure, boss. So you can't even say okay. You can't even
just
say
you
okay.
Just punch him in the face?
I kind of don't know what's
family.
Doing with
Anthony
right
now.
I want Anthony to punch
Woody
in the face.
I really want to step up and be a big part of this whole Lackawanna thing. But to be honest,
Mahonia.
He's got a lot to show me.
Oh, well, that's great, huh?
You know what? I feel bad for the kid because obviously he's in over his head. All he did what they told him to do. You scoop the batter into the sheet, move it around, put it in the oven. And what else is there to do? It's not his fault that they came out shitty.
Just,
maybe it was the batter.
He's just supposed to say, okay, I'll do it again.
Yeah, I mean, well, obviously he's got pride issues, but
well, yeah, Buddy's used to all of his guys.
Buddy's
just
screaming in your face about it.
When he says there's no reason to yell, just like, tell me I did it wrong, I'll redo it. Do you have to do this dramatic thing? We got a TV show over here, and we got to be dramatic for it, okay?
Camera!
You got to play to the camera, Anthony! Now go outside and give me something. Oh, you're going to throw shit on me again from the roof? Okay?
Yeah, there you go.
Did you see the scenes of next week's? They're like, hey, let's get Anthony outside, and they're all waiting. They're all waiting on top of the roof with different shit they're going to dump on him again. So one day he's going to come in there and he's like an Uzi or something. Anthony!
Anthony.
My name is Anthony! T-H, you assholes!
You can't pronounce it, call me Tony!
I'm going to shoot you in the face!
Now, Bill, Food Revolution finally returned. Jamie Oliver's show.
Did it?
And I had to play this clip because he does this thing that he does for five-year-olds, kindergartners, where he asks them questions about food, like where does food come from? He gives them a choice of A, B, or C, like where does milk come from? And he goes, I didn't want to give it to these high school kids because it's kind of patronizing, like, dude, come on. But he decided to. He wanted to know where they lie in their knowledge of food.
Oh, well, let's humiliate some children.
So let's, he's going to ask these kids what they know about food, and let's check it out. And I almost think that some of their answers are because they can't understand a word he's saying.
Yeah, he's a little marble-mouthed.
Let's check this out.
So the LA school board have the power to ban me from their kitchens, but
They can't stop me coming into West Adams as an educator. And the first thing I'm going to do, now I'm a teacher here, is find out how much my students know about food.
And it's like a litmus test, okay?
I've always done very simple tests of where your food came from with the elementary school kids.
You need to answer me nice and quick, 3 seconds.
However, I've never done it with high school kids.
Okay, cheese, where does it come from? A cow, macaroni, or the moon?
Cow.
Good girl.
Partly because it always felt a bit...
No, it comes from the moon.
Where does it come from? Trees, fluffy clouds, or corn?
Corn.
Good girl.
But this test was very enlightening.
Okay, spaghetti, where do they come from? Spaghetti tree, the spaghetti river, or from the field?
Meat.
Correct.
Very inspiring.
Butter, where does it come from?
Cow.
Positive?
Yes.
And very upsetting.
Butter. Now, where does it come from? A dairy cow, sweet corn, or sunflower?
I think it's bee.
From bee. You think that butter comes from sweet corn?
Yeah.
It's actually a cow. Where does butter come from?
Corn.
Okay, butter does not come from corn. Butter. A, B, or C?
B.
So butter comes from sweet corn?
Yeah.
The reality is a bunch of these kids haven't got a clue about where their food comes from.
Sausages, does it come from this beef cattle here, a sausage dog, or does it come from a corn dog, which is growing?
C.
Okay, corn dogs don't actually grow.
You guys might be sitting at home watching this, giggling, laughing, thinking how funny it is. You know, but these kids are not stupid. We cannot blame these students.
Sure.
Where does almonds come from? Do you know what almonds are?
No.
You don't?
They are simply a reflection of the adults that have made decisions around them. It's us. It's the adults that have let these young kids down.
Chocolate, where does it come from? Cocoa pod, coconut, or a cocoa lake?
C.
You think that chocolate comes from a cocoa lake?
The LAUSD think I'm here to talk about school food, but actually food education.
He's talking about
Willy
Wonka.
What tools are we giving youngsters to have any knowledge about it?
Okie dokie. Now, honey, where does it come from? Honey bear, honey bee, or honey dew?
I think a bear.
These guys are 17, they're not 5 Jesus or 10. Christ. These are 5 and 10-year-old mistakes here.
Cut open a bear and honey just pours out of it.
They're driving cars already.
That's what happens when you cut open a bear.
Where does it come from? Apples, avocados, or broccoli?
Apples.
Apples. No, are you Mexican?
Yeah.
Okay, your grandmother would give you a slap for that. Now, cheese, where does it come from? Moon, macaroni, or a cow?
I would say a macaroni.
Incorrect. It comes from a cow. There I am going into that class thinking they're never going to get this wrong.
They had to have been.
And far too much of it was wrong. And you know what the scary thing is? This is a great school. I mean, academically, this school does well. It's really been turned around. They've got an amazing team here. This isn't a reflection on this school, per se. This is a reflection on the unimportance of any kind of food education for the young Americans today.
We've let them down. We've created this whole environment. They've just been born into it, and they're coming out at 17, and they haven't even got that basic knowledge. It's bad.
Busy with other things like texting and video games and stuff like
honestly,
that.
Honestly, he comes across so superior, so haughty. It's like, dude, calm down. take a chill pill. It's okay.
There was one guy who said that corn dogs come from a plant, like they grow.
Yeah.
If that was true, that would be awesome. I'd plant some corn dogs in my backyard.
I would grow corn dog plants.
I would too, man. That'd be awesome. Or if you live next to a chocolate lake, how sweet would that be? What kind of
you'd probably have to boil the chocolate first.
Yeah, what kind of fish would swim in a chocolate lake?
Chocolate fish.
Oh, cowfish.
Or maybe Swedish fish covered in chocolate.
Swedish fish. Yeah. And Augustus Gloop is, hey, Augustus. He's always getting sucked in that tube all the time.
He's the chocolate swamp thing.
Awesome. So that's Food Revolution. Everything we're doing is wrong, guys. We got to learn from Jamie.
Yeah. And did he screw with that poor Dino guy from Patra's this?
Yes. Patra finally gave in and changed his meat. And he went on the radio and they had a big brouhaha there at his restaurant, like a gala. And they were on the news. And this nurse came up to him and said how proud she was because she sees so many people who eat unhealthily. Oh, geez. And
wonder how much they paid her.
He started crying, saying, I think I'm doing the right thing. My dad would really appreciate this and stuff like that. So that was really good stuff, Bill.
Wow. Sounds a little forced.
Now, okay, I'm not going to subject you guys to a whole bunch of clips of The Bachelorette, but just one, okay? Because this week on the show, they decide, hey, let's get Jeffrey Ross on the show and roast The Bachelorette. And we'll have all the guys roast her, okay? The problem here is the guy...
I don't know her.
Remember the guy, William, who...
The problem is they actually thought they meant they were going to put her on a spit.
We're going to eat her. The guy who did the bad Sean Connery impression, he's like, I've always wanted to be a comedian. Oh, this will be great.
Perfect.
And he decides
to...
My
comedic chops will ring out.
He's like, oh, man, they're doing a horrible job of roasting her. I'm really going to just eat her alive, you know? And the guy took off his mask this week, and he revealed who he is. And I knew it was a bad sign when the first thing she said was, he looks a lot older than I thought. And I was like, oh.
Oh, no.
He was screwed. Now, let's go ahead and check this out. And, you know, we all know Jeffrey Ross is hilarious, right? Mm-hmm. Let's check this out, guys. Let's hear how bad this guy bombs. They all bomb. They all suck. They're horrible. In fact, she should have gone home after this realizing they're all just
bunch of
not even
I think
funny.
They should just call the whole thing off.
Yeah, she should have gone home. Let's check this out.
Jeff Ross is one of the best stand-up comedians that walks this nation. He's awesome.
Roasting, as you know, comes from a place of love and affection, and we thought it'd be really fun, Ashley and I. You can make a woman laugh at herself, you can make her do anything. So the trick here is to not hold back. She promises she can handle it, right?
I hope so.
This is what I've been dying to do my entire life. I've always wanted to be a comedian, so this is a huge opportunity for me. I get a couple minutes on the stage, and I need to use it to my fullest advantage. If I can impress Jeffrey Ross, it could open up the door for me to do my dream. You know, do a roast with Ashley tonight, and then roast some famous celebrity in a couple months. We'll see what happens.
Please put your hands together for the roast
career takes off.
Jeffrey Ross.
That's how it happens. Look at this. Jeffrey Ross really has made a career out of this shit.
Is this The Bachelorette or The Biggest Loser? Our next roaster wore a mask for the first two episodes. Please welcome Zorro's unemployed brother, Jeff Medola.
Hold on a second. Yeah, that's right. Ashley, I just picked up your Sorry.
I have no idea what he said there.
I know I have small boobs. I'm aware of this. That's me. So if they want to make fun of it, it's fair game.
I'm sure you'll hear worse.
I'm like, oh, man, you've had all of 15 minutes to talk to this girl. And it's like, boop, here's my face. You have smelled.
Way to win a woman's heart by making fun of her boobs in the first 15 seconds.
I kind of thank him for doing that because it kind of set the bar for the rest of us.
William, your jokes around the house are starting to fall kind of flat, almost as flat as Ashley, but not quite. You're actually the first girl I've ever dated with a smaller chest than me.
Congrats on being the third runner-up from last season. It's a huge accomplishment.
But I do have to tell you, Ashley, that 60% of the guys are not here for the right reason. And the reason why I know that is because 60% of guys in America are blue guys. So.
No, Bentley!
But her ass makes up for it, I'll tell you that.
I'm sitting there listening, and it's obvious that
William,
these guys
he
don't really get it. It's a roast. If you get up there and you're soft, you're it's a roast.
I'm kind of excited to hear what William has to say, because him and I have spent a whole day together. We had a really great date. I would probably say the best first date. So when he starts roasting me, it's going to be funny, and it's going to be accurate, because he does know me so well.
Ashley,
oh, no.
So beautiful, so gorgeous, so used. They say one man's trash is another man's treasure. I mean, I thought I was signing up to be with Emily or Chantel, and then Ashley's here. Really?
This is the other girl's.
What the hell?
I couldn't believe he said that. I mean, basically, I feel the same way, but I'm not going to say that to her. Don't be stupid.
Too soon.
I will tell the entire crowd, get out your cell phones to donate to the Ashley Boob Fund.
Wow.
We all love you.
No roast.
No roast for me. This was a roast. It wasn't compliment Ashley night.
Give it up for William. He was never funnier.
Wow.
Yeah, he was horrible. And the best part is afterwards, she was like... And she went crying in the back of the room. He was like, what, man? I was just like, what? They're like, you know, like, her main thing is, like, she didn't, because she was the third runner-up. She was like, people will want the runner-up next season on The Bachelorette. They don't want me. Apparently, that girl didn't want to do it. So they're like, no, Ashley, we want you. So she's real self-conscious about it. So when he said that, she, like, just started crying.
Wow.
So he, like, really bombed. It was hilarious. And that guy, Bentley, he was like, I'm going to go talk to her and cheer her up. But, God, I hate crying. When chicks cry, man, it's a real bummer. So he's like, he's over there like comforting her. He's like, hey, it's okay. And she's crying on his shoulder. He's like, oh, God, she's been crying like forever. He's like, doesn't care, but he's acting so tender to her. But his narration of what he's doing is just like, ugh, will she ever stop crying? And he's just like, hey, there's a bunch of other guys there. They may have wanted the other chicks. I wanted you. And she's like, oh. And she's like, I think I'm falling for this guy. He's really sweet. And then he decides that, I need to get out of here.
She's terrible.
So he tells all the guys, he goes, yeah, I really miss my daughter. I need to get back to her. And they're like, oh, it's cool, man. Do what you got to do, man. You're a good dad. And he's like, thanks. And he's like, those idiots, they bought it. I don't care. And later on, he goes to talk to her, and he's like, hey, I got to go and be with my daughter. And she goes, oh, okay, I understand. It's really sad. And he goes, it was just an excuse. Sure, I miss my daughter, but yeah, I could stick around if I wanted to, but I don't want to. And it's like, wow. This
I don't have a daughter, by the way.
I was waiting for that. By the way, I don't have a daughter. And I think the guy might need a psych evaluation. Do you think? Maybe he's just a normal guy. Who knows? But
maybe his you know, other name is Patrick Bateman.
Yeah, he's going to kill her eventually. So it's good that he left. But you know what? She said she was falling for him, and she thinks it's over. This may be the guy I marry. Then he dumps her and leaves, and then they're like, hey, you have a date tonight? And she's like, I don't want to do this anymore. And she's crying. She's in the bed. She's covered up in blankies. And so the guy comes with flowers. He goes, hey, I'm here for our date. And she's got her glasses on, and she's not made up. She's in a robe. And I wanted a close-up of him going, when she opens the door, what happened to you? And she goes, I don't really feel like dating, but if you want to hang out with me or something, he's like, all right. So he, like, hangs out with her. And I was just like,
screws her brains out.
Yeah. No, that didn't happen. But,
oh, bummer.
But yeah, really good.
Your boobs are so small.
So, guys, let's take a break. We'll come back and talk about the premiere of MasterChef. Why not? Don't got a lot of shows to talk about, Steven.
No, we don't.
So let's stretch this out. All right. All right, guys, we'll be right back.
There's really no need to yell.
Your grandmother would give you a slap for that.
Aye, come celebrate. McDonald's is serving up the one and only Shamrock Shake. They're tasty, cool, and delicious. But hurry, they won't be around for long, and that's no blarney.
It makes kids glad, and it thrills mom and dad. It's the most fun by far since Aaron go brought together. McDonald's and you.
MTV has seen the future, and it's on video disc. Discover and win the complete RCA stereo video disc system. The channel that brought you video music offers you the latest in video technology. It's state of the art in your home. Your grand prize features the RCA stereo video disc player, a monitor, receiver, amplifier, speakers, and the entire RCA video disc rock collection, including the Rolling Stones.
Back to where you once belong.
The Go-Go's. The Who. And more. The giveaway continues. 50 first prize winners receive an RCA stereo video disc player and any 10 rock video discs. To enter, just send a postcard to MTV's Video Disc Giveaway, P.O. Box 1211, Radio City Station, New York, New York, 10101. Postcards must be received by June 11th. The MTV Video Disc Giveaway. The future can be yours on MTV.
Hold on now. Kids need to do things on their own. So parents need to let them try. But there's something families don't need. They don't need caffeine. That's why the 7-Up company created refreshing Light Cola in regular and new sugar-free. Light doesn't add caffeine like the leading colas, and Light has a satisfying, rich cola taste.
You were terrific.
You really did it.
I did, didn't I?
Light, regular and new sugar-free. The taste proves you don't need caffeine.
share a dream that's come together. What you built will last forever. The special moment calls for the special tapes of Maxwell House. Share the tape that's right for you. Only Maxwell House will do. Give that girl to the last drop of healing. Maxwell.
Right now, your body's thirsty for more than water.
You're working your body till you can't do more. Gatorade is thirsty. So give your body what it's thirsty for. Gatorade is thirsty. For that deep down body thirst.
When you exercise, you lose potassium, fluids, minerals. Gatorade helps put them back fast. It's no ordinary thirst quencher.
Gatorade is thirsty. For that deep down body thirst.
Now there's a longer-lasting flavor in new Dentine. How long will the flavor last?
Till the cows come home.
Possibly an eternity. Longer than I did.
Dentine's been improved. New Dentine has longer-lasting flavor, so you can brush your breath even longer.
Commander Miller, how long will the flavor last you?
Oh, about 3 million miles.
Of the Ninja, starring martial arts master Sho Kosugi and his son Kane Kosugi, 6-year-old world karate champion. Revenge of the Ninja, the great martial arts explosion of the 80s, comes to America with full force. Revenge of the Ninja, rated R.
Now playing UA Cinema Center, Hollywood Pacific, and selected theaters.
Score candy bars have the taste of Sweden.
The taste of Sweden? It's ridiculous. Rich milk chocolate, crunchy toffee, med in svensk taste, a mecca of the lobden. Trome, then a sunnelig and a väldig korsoklobin.
Score, the chocolate and toffee taste of Sweden.
On the mamma tycker om den, on the pappa tycker om den, on the brew.
When you're super close to someone special, you want your breath really fresh as can be. Certs make sure your breath is so fresh, it's face-to-face fresh. Cause it's a great-tasting sweet candy mint and a refreshing mint for your breath. So it's two mints in one. And only Certs has a glistening drop of Bretzen and a fresh, clean flavor. So when you're near someone special, be sure your breath is always face-to-face fresh. Certs regular and sugar-free for breath that's face-to-face fresh.
Looking good, Mr. McEnroe.
What are you, a comedian?
I bet your shave. It's very close.
Of course. I shave with Bic.
Yes, I've seen the commercial.
It's all true. Bic is beautiful, smooth, close, comfortable. How Bic does it for only 20 cents beats me.
And where do you spend all the money you save, Mr. McEnroe?
Tennis lessons.
Bic, the shave that saves.
Got me a case of the 501 blues. Here from my waist right down to my shoes. You ain't got it, not like me. It's my strength to fit, permanent identity. I'm 501 blues. Legendary 501 blues.
If your taco breaks apart when you bite it, try an Ortega taco. Not only won't an Ortega taco break apart, but every crunchy bite has an authentic fresh corn taste. That's because Ortega has corn-tenticity. Corn-tenticity, because Ortega's made from real corn, not processed corn flour. Crunch into an Ortega taco. It won't break apart, and it gives you the fresh corn taste of Ortega. Corn-tenticity.
Was that you, Grandpa?
Years ago, honey.
Did you have M&Ms years ago?
Sure did.
Special times are meant to share, and M&Ms chocolate candies are there. The milk chocolate melts in your mouth, not in your hand.
Not today.
All the world loves M&Ms. Pure milk chocolate joy for everyone.
M&Ms chocolate candies. The milk chocolate melts in your mouth, not in your hand. To dribble from New York to L.A., you've got to have a dream.
Converse! Go for more. Reach. Reach for the stars. Reach for Converse.
Converse, the official athletic shoe of the 1984 Olympic Games.
Say one man's trash is another man's treasure.
They do say that? Okay. All right, we're back. Bill, are you back, sir?
I am.
Yes, Bill, welcome to the show. Let's talk
Thank
about...
Thank you. Master so nice to be here.
Master Chef isn't back, Bill. How great is this, huh?
Oh, damn, damn, damn.
2 days of Master Chef, two nights in a row. I found it to
Was
be pretty
Was it two
fun.
Nights in a row? I thought they just aired it all in one night.
No, it was Monday and Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
And let's get the first one out of the way. There was the blonde lady who had a great laugh. And there was the gator guy.
Oh, yes, the snorter.
There was the weird guy who prepared gator. He was missing a front tooth, Bill. And
I think he was missing all of his teeth except the front tooth.
Just one tooth.
One tooth.
And... what did you think of Gordon? He kept making jokes about him climbing out of a tree. Like, do you live in a tree? And stuff like that.
Well, I mean, Gordon's actually been to places where people live in trees. Does that guy look like he can climb a tree?
He just like... It's like Gordon feels like he's designated the guy who has to joke. He has to joke around about everything, you know?
Yeah.
Be the Simon Cowell of this group.
Yeah, because Joe, he's very serious, but he doesn't really make a lot of jokes. And what's the other guy's name?
Graham Elliott.
Graham Elliott. He's a 4-star chef, right? Like a he's got already got.
I don't know who gave him those stars, but I do understand that he's a very well regarded chef,
right? And he's very young, so it's like, wow, this young guy did this.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and check this out and see what happens.
They'll have just 1 hour to create a signature dish worthy of a MasterChef apron. Former beauty queen Jennifer is the first to face the judges.
Hopefully they like spice, because I'm spassive to begin with, so.
My passion for cooking came from the fact that my mother was definitely the 15 minutes in the microwave, so I started to discover food on my own, because I couldn't eat one more thing of Salisbury steak. I describe myself kind of a boy with boots.
Thank God.
That loves to
that
wear
time.
High heels and put makeup on. I'm a competitive person by nature. I won Miss Delaware, USA. I walked in a swimsuit on national television in 5-inch heels.
Stop laughing.
I'm at the point in my life where I need to follow
really
exactly what I
herself.
Love. I came here to win. Don't let the blonde hair and the nice smile and high heels fool you.
You don't like curry.
I think the dish is rehearsed. I think it's a fake, and I think she fooled you both.
Snope.
After a run of epic failures,
okay.
Can a trucker turn things around with his unusual ingredient?
I'm here. I'm ready.
First name is?
Albert.
You're well camouflaged.
I'm the redneck concoctioner. I had to be camouflaged.
Excellent. Okay, Albert, start cooking, buddy. You got 5 minutes.
Okay, chefs. I have prepared a triple tail gator. It's alligator three ways.
Are you a big fan of alligator?
If it's got 2 legs or 4 legs, I'm not scared of it. I've cooked coon, rattlesnake, bobcat.
What don't you eat, Albert?
Possum.
I draw the line at possum.
What's that on your chest there? What is that?
Oh, that is a tattoo of an eagle with a Harley Davidson banner on it. I've got one on my butt. Would you like to see it?
Yes, please.
Why did he say yes, please?
Not too close, just from a distance, just in case.
You want to see the devil? There's the devil.
Woo!
All right.
Can you please wash your hands before you continue plating that dish?
Now, is this something that you serve often for the family or for friends?
Alligator, a certain time of the season, we'll get it around home, you know.
Do you live in the bush?
I live in the woods, you could say.
In a tree or?
Oh, no.
Yes, he's from Africa, the bush.
I thought this was a joke. And when I tasted it, it's delicious.
It was hilarious.
You have surprised us.
I'm telling you, I am going to give it my shot, and I will do whatever it takes to become the next Master Chef.
I'm a yes.
It'll never happen.
I'm a yes.
You heard my
Your
vote.
Your one
You're
tooth
yes,
has
man.
More of a chance.
All right, yes.
Come here.
All right.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Oh, yes.
See you later, alligator. Yeah?
You got it.
Okay.
Thank you, Chef.
Yeah. Okay,
thank
and you. Do me a favor. Hey, keep those pants up.
If you say so.
You got it.
Albert Dundee.
You're the one that told him to
Holy
take him
crap.
Down.
I think it's the first time he's been down from the tree in a year.
Hey!
Out of the bush comes the dish of the day.
Yeah. What? I swear to God.
I will give you this much about Gordon Ramsay. He's a son of a bitch. But he is an honest son of a bitch because he shoots you like it is and he's not going to you.
He's a son of a bitch.
Worked his butt off for an apron.
Oh, did
oh,
he?
Oh, come on. Stop with the butt stuff.
See you later, alligator. It's like, okay. Now, Bill.
Thanks, Gordo.
There's a lady who shows up with truffle spray, and they don't like this.
No.
It's not good.
No.
Let's play this clip and then kind of tell me about it, okay?
What is that?
This here? It's just some white truffle oil.
Truffle oil?
White truffle oil?
Yes.
One of the most pungent, ridiculous ingredients ever known to chef.
The sure sign of someone who doesn't know what they're doing. Do you know that truffle oils are made by perfumists that have no white truffles in them?
But it's good.
I can't believe you've just done that. I think you've just put your apron up in flames. Let me tell you that.
It tastes good.
You know, if you go
what's
to a restaurant
problem?
You see truffle oil on the menu, it's a good reason to run away.
I can smell it from here. It stinks. Sadly, with that over-pungent, dreadful flavor of white truffle oil. Great
you
potential.
Silly bitch.
Finish. Damn.
That truffle oil, it really takes over that dish.
It's a mistake.
I know.
We'll get
that
rid of
is
that
just
crap.
A mistake. Big mistake. This means the world to me.
I'm going to be really honest. Stripped with all the pretentious crap removed, is it for me? You're putting chives on the plate, like crisscrossing and making silly little pictures, and then truffle oil, trendy, and, you know, we fire chefs in our kitchens for using that crap.
I'll give you a chance.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Come over here. Come on.
I definitely will not make that mistake twice.
Unfortunately, you're going to have to keep cooking.
Did you love how they torture him?
So truffle oil's off Tracy's shopping
He's
list.
Just beat her
but
down.
But the judges
beat
still
her
have
down.
Nuts, flakes, and fruitcakes on theirs.
How are you feeling? Confident?
I like to think I'm a bad in the kitchen.
I have just one shot to prove what I got. Make it all MasterChef. That'd be pretty hot. Food.
What the hell?
That CNC Music Factory?
Is coming this fall. You're on the wrong show.
Should that be a little bit more cooked?
I hope it doesn't ruin my chances for an apron.
For me, it's a no. Straight down there, there's a big M on the door.
Sorry, no.
Bust a move that way.
Joe, yes or no?
Definitely no.
It means everything. I can do this. I need to do this. I'll crawl. I'll beg. That's how bad I want that. I need that apron. I need this. Please, Gordon. I want that apron so bad. Give it to me right now. Please, give it to me.
Make her leave.
Get off the floor. Pick up your apron. That's a yes from me.
Oh, my God.
You're going to lose that bet, Gordon.
She showed she really wanted it. Now, what is truffle oil? It's, you know, I know truffles are very expensive, right? So it's like you just get the cheap substitute.
Yeah, they use a chemical or a perfume that smells like truffles. Truffles are basically just a fungus, like a lump.
Mm.
That grow under the ground around trees and
delicious fungus.
Yes, exactly. I guess they themselves are pretty pungent. I mean, I can honestly say that I've only had truffles one time, and it was on a burger. And it was
Curtis
like a
Stone
it
made it for you,
me.
Right? Curtis Stone made it for you.
Yeah,
remember
yeah,
on Celebrity
Apprentice?
Then he
took a massive shit in my bathroom.
He took a crap. I had truffle macaroni recently, and I thought it was pretty good. But I was like, "Can I taste it?" I was like,
"Yeah."
I wasn't.
It's
all
one
sure.
of those items that it's just it is what it is. It's rare, so it's expensive, and it's mushroomy.
The one thing I didn't understand is they told her you're not going to use it, are you? And she goes, "Yeah," and she pours it in or whatever, or sprays it in.
Yeah, why didn't she ask first? Like, why
should I not? She's like, it tastes good. I'm going to do it. Now, of course, we've seen the part on the commercial where the guy makes naked sushi, right?
Yes. And we with a cute redhead.
Let's just see if Gordon makes some bad jokes here. And I think there's some other stuff that
no.
happens.
Well, he's so restrained, he'd never do anything like that.
It's like a husband-wife duo. What's going
no,
on?
No, not at all. This is my special treat. I have been looking forward to serving this for you guys for a while.
You're kidding me.
Are you competing for MasterChef? Is this your dish?
Yes, it is my dish.
Are you serious?
Body sushi. Watch out. Get you around here.
You just poured soy sauce over your lady's tummy, and it's dripping everywhere.
Okay, my question is, who goes first?
Maybe all three at the same time.
Let's go.
This is not the kind of place I want to find a hair in my food.
Absolutely. Honey soy vinaigrette on the right-hand side.
Ooh.
This is an ahi tuna.
Raw style.
It's Hugh Hefner's breakfast. Don't ask for dessert, no.
Nope. At the end of
what
the day, it's
mean?
A cooking competition. I have to say no.
No.
Here's the naked truth.
Know.
Three no's. Thank you both.
Gordon Ramsay ate sushi off of me. Chef Ramsay, how are you?
I'm very well indeed. How are you?
I am rocking.
Scottish?
Yes. Glasgow?
Glasgow?
I know.
Don't really understand what you're saying, but I guess you guys are paisanos of some sort, right?
Yes. Lovely accents.
Oh, Joe.
What are you cooking?
I've actually done Scottish salmon and haggis en croûte. I made the pastry myself.
Haggis en croûte?
Yes.
Look at you. You've got posh.
Oh, Chef Ramsay, really?
Have you guys ever had haggis?
Yes.
Never had it. It's my first haggis experience.
Great. Pauline, just explain to Joe what haggis is, please.
Sheep's stomach stuffed with meat and barley.
Well, it's the heart of the lamb. It's kidney. And it's boiled in the lining of the sheep's stomach.
Delicious.
I once heard somewhere that all Scottish food was based on a dare. Like, I dare you to eat that. So
really?
Let's see.
So is this what it's supposed to look like?
This is what it's supposed to look like, yeah.
And that's the haggis?
That's the haggis.
Just like that, right?
Yeah.
Don't be scared, Joe. Put hairs on your chest.
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
I love Joe tasting this thing. He's just like,
come on.
It's not for the faint-hearted.
This is the sauce?
That's the sauce. Chef Ramsay, honestly, defies belief you're touching my food, Julie.
That's brave to bring haggis to L.A.
I know.
I mean, that dish, it makes me feel homesick.
Oh, does it?
Yes, it does.
Attached to Scotland just for you.
Does it need to go with salmon? No.
It probably doesn't.
You're crazy.
I am. But I'm Scottish, what can I tell you?
Okay. Don't take this personally, because I think you're amazing. But for me, it's a no. To that apron, because I want you to put this one on.
Nah. Torturing that old poor lady.
I'll never let you down.
Come on.
I'll never let you down.
Show these yanks.
Delicious, though.
It is good.
It's really
What's
good.
What's the matter with you?
That's not
Put some olive oil on it.
What did you torture that lady for? The answer is no. And just wait, hold it.
To that apron and put this one on.
So are they doing even more auditions next week, or are they finally to the next part?
I think they have more.
Yeah, it looked like they
have. They have, like, what, 40 people? Is that what they start with?
I think. But one thing, once they get going, it's kind of, I remember it being kind of shocking, like, how many people they cut, like, right away. Because it's like, this is, I mean, I think this about it. It is a tough competition.
I thought, like, the first week they cut it, like, in half, like, almost.
But they eliminate somebody at the beginning and they eliminate somebody at the end. But remember when the first thing they do is they did onions. Who can chop the onions fastest?
Who can chop the onions?
And people who are just too long are like, yeah, I'm sorry, you got to go. And they're just
they got to cut a cup of onions.
And then they got to be all perfect squares.
Yeah.
And then they do group competitions and then all that. But I do like the show. I think it's a lot of fun. Right now they're doing
It's fun.
It's a fun, silly show. Like Top Chef Masters, right, Bill?
You know what? I hate to admit it. I didn't see it this week.
That's okay that you didn't see it.
You know, I think I was revolting because of the loss of Hugh.
Yeah.
Just subconsciously, I decided not to.
Let's see, they have that Mary Sue lady. I think that, what is her name?
Mary Sue Milliken.
Yeah, and Naomi. And there's the other.
Naomi.
The other lady and the one guy. All right, so that's pretty.
Yeah, that one guy. He's the guy.
The other Indian guy that wasn't Suvir. It was the other one, and I forget his name. His name's real simple, like Jerry or something. But anyway, they did this kind of quick fire.
My name is Jerry.
They did well. He doesn't even talk like that. He just has an American accent. I mean,
yeah,
he's just born in America.
He spent the most time in America. Yeah.
So their quick fire is they have to make a meal. But they have to tell the stranger next to them to prepare the meal, too. And there's a wall between them. And whoever wins is who has the most like meal of the person next to them that they told, their partner, who they can't see and is through a wall. But, of course, the...
Jesus, that sounds complicated.
It is. And it's funny how much they get annoyed and yell at the person. And then they reveal who the person is at the end. So let's go ahead and check this out. It's kind of funny. And, of course, Naomi, who likes to yell and stuff, and she's really bossy, she starts yelling a lot, and they're like, God, why would you yell at this person you don't even know like that? All right.
Each of your stations has a divider, splitting your workstation into two. Each has the same equipment and ingredients. You will only be allowed to use those to cook your dish. On the other side of the divider is an identical set and your mystery teammate. You're going to have 20 minutes to create and cook your dish. At the same time, you'll be instructing the person on the other side of the divider to make the exact same dish. And I'll be looking at how good they taste and how identical they are to your teammates.
I can hear the man's voice, but I don't recognize it.
What am I grabbing?
The fish.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay, I can't really hear you.
Rice vinegar, okay?
Is it down below?
Yes.
Parsley?
Parsley, yes. Parsley,
I'm sorry?
Chiffonade!
I don't know that term, chiffonade.
Oh, you must not be a culinary student. Because if you're a culinary student, you would know what chiffonade means.
Then mince it.
Mince it, okay, chef.
That seems to be a culinary term that he can get his head around.
I have no idea who's on the other side of the divider. But there's no time to waste thinking, so I just grab ingredients that sound good together.
Just two strips right into the pan.
Yes. Oh, no. They're on the burner. They shouldn't be on the burner.
They need to be in the pan cooking.
I decided to make a fricassee with a poached egg.
No eggs.
You do have eggs. You have four eggs. Grab a shallot. Do you know what that looks like?
Hold on. No.
Oh, my God. Who is this person that doesn't know what a shallot looks like? What have they done to me?
I can't hear you.
They're in the pan with the bacon was.
I don't know what's going on with this guy.
I can't hear you. You need to talk louder.
He clearly is a quiet talker.
Mushrooms in?
What?
Mushrooms in?
And I'm finding myself getting really irritated.
How long do you want the bacon strips cut?
The bacon, I already told you, a half an inch wide, and it should be all in a pan together.
Not hearing you well.
Okay. Oh.
I don't think I can scream at someone in the kitchen. I think if you give people a chance, they will do what you tell them to.
Take the mushrooms out?
No, taste it!
The more I could hear Naomi scream, the less I wanted to do the same thing to my guests.
Okay, hey, get back here!
Chefs, you have 5 minutes remaining.
Do not pour
Oh my God.
Will do.
Most people can crack an egg.
Tell me when your eggs are in.
Damn it.
We have to come to the plate, dude. We have to. We'll get disqualified if we don't.
Okay, here we go.
I am not getting disqualified because you can't crack an egg. I ain't going out like that. You're gonna just done.
It's still a little runny, I think.
It should be runny, sir.
Let's remove the divider. Let's find out who your teammate was.
Brother.
This is going to be very interesting to see who the guest is.
Ah! Oh, my God.
No.
No. Good thing I've been just yelling at my dad the whole day.
It's kind of appalling to think that Naomi's been screaming at this person on the other side of the barrier the whole time, and it's her dad.
Yeah, this is my father. He taught me a lot about cooking.
My dad is my favorite person in the entire world. I mean, he knows my personality. So I already know I have an instant free pass for acting like a maniac.
I
love my dad. He's an asshole.
Because he talks to me like she always talks to me when she's in the kitchen, right?
That's the thing about family. You can be as blunt as you like, right?
Yeah, it's true.
So they all had their relatives there. But I just thought it was funny that it was her dad. And I started thinking, like, if, well,
nobody recognized their family member's voice.
How could you not? The only thing I could think of is maybe they have live in other states.
I haven't seen them in years and only talked to them on the phone.
I find it hard to believe that I wouldn't recognize my sister's voices, you know, or my dad.
Yeah.
My dad has a distinct voice. I would know it was him immediately unless he talked in a different voice.
If they told you, okay, don't talk.
But they did have a wall between it. I'm wondering if it was so muffled you couldn't tell. I mean, to the cameras, we could hear them, but maybe between the walls, or something like that, you know?
I suppose. I just tend to call bullshit on that. You're going to know a voice.
Right.
They should have put like an intercom there to kind of disguise the voice, but they could talk through it.
They make them sound like the Scream villain.
Do you have a favorite meal and scary movie? But they did a thing where they prepared food for people for Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines who had been in like Afghanistan and stuff, and a welcome home meal. And the one Indian guy whose name I can't remember, he prepared a meal that moved the guy so much, he gave him a present, this coin thing, and it, like, made him cry and stuff. And I thought was really touching. And the young girl, Naomi, she was eliminated this week. So there's only three left, and the finale's next week. And you know what comes on right after the finale of Top Chef Masters, Bill?
No.
Rocco's Dinner Party!
Oh, really? Oh, I can't wait.
You know, Bill and I have talked about Rocco for a while because he had the show, even before Norm Mulberry existed, this reality show called The Restaurant.
Man.
And it was just a train wreck of a show. But there's something about Rocco. I always thought he was a douchebag.
Oh, Rocco.
He is a douchebag.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Rocco DiSpirito.
Yes,
he comes off as this arrogant prick to me. And he has this new thing where he's a nice, friendly guy, but I see right through that, Bill.
He had Mama's meatballs.
Yeah, Mama's meatballs, yeah. No one makes meatballs like my mama. He's not the saucy balls guy. He's Rocco DiSpirito. And they always show women are like, he's so sexy and stuff. So he's got a show where it's a ripoff of Come Dine With Me is what I think it is, Bill.
Yeah, it is.
Where these people compete to have a dinner party. But here's the spin. Rocco invites his famous friends over to the dinner parties.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I can't wait to see all of his famous friends, guys.
Buddy the Cake Boss.
Yeah, I got Buddy
Cousin
Malastro.
Cousin
Anthony. He brought some sheet cakes over to help you with your party and... These are all broken. You can't even pick them up. They crumble. I just did it the way you told me to.
All your famous guests are from the cooking show, Food Network.
These are the Real Housewives of Orange County.
Right. We got the Bachelorette here.
She's got no boobs.
Yeah, you're the Kardashians.
She's got a flat flat chest, but her ass makes up for it.
Oh, that makes up for everything.
Who gives a
hey. So, Bill, that's all the shows we have to talk about. And, you know, soon True Blood will be back, and we'll have some Entourage, the final season of Entourage. We'll see how they compare to the final season of Smallville. You know, because
how they tie it all up, because we care so much about these characters.
Yeah, the show's very similar. Can't wait till they make Turtle runs for president or some shit.
Turtle's hit by a car. Eric falls off a cliff. Vince ODs on cocaine.
I can't wait. It's going to be awesome. Ugh.
Get it on.
Yeah.
All right, Bill, you ready to do some news?
We are. Let's do it.
Let's do it!
And all of the night.
All right, Bill, what do we have in the news this week?
All right, in the news this week out of Martinsville, Indiana, excuse me, Tina Sabaton says she feels violated after porn was inadvertently brought into her home. But making her even more outraged is the fact that after numerous attempts to get Walmart to figure out what happened, they have completely ignored her.
That's a bunch of horse shit.
Yeah. Sabaton and her 8-year-old daughter have been looking forward to watching the latest Harry Potter movie on their brand new video player.
Ah, a video player? What is this? Some old, like, Sylvania thing or something?
I didn't know they still released the latest films on VHS. But before pushing play, they noticed what they thought was a head cleaner inside the VHS slot. So we said, let's see if it's working. And it was there, and it was available. So we pressed play. That's when the unthinkable happened. The head cleaner turned out to be a pornographic videotape. The video was halfway through a graphic sex scene before Tina could wrap her mind around what was happening. I wonder if it was called the head cleaner. I was kind of dumbfounded. And my husband is like, close your eyes.
He's like,
close your eyes.
They say one man's trash is another man's treasure.
Save that for later. By then, the damage had been done.
Oh, no.
I mean, I felt violated. And as soon as I felt that way, of course, my thoughts then turned to my daughter. Then I felt like she'd been violated, which infuriates me. Tina immediately contacted the Walmart store where she bought the VHS player, along with the equipment's manufacturer.
Why VHS?
How old is this story?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Is this the first Harry Potter movie?
I had no idea they still made VHS or even produced VHS tapes for sale.
I know. What the hell?
There must be, like, some special, like, dungeon area of Walmart with VHS stuff in it.
What's the matter with you?
Well, who is the person who's like, I'm going to take this VHS, put porn on it, and return it?
No one will ever see it.
Are we this from the fringe other universe where VHS took off?
It just adds insult to injury, Sabaton said. That's how I feel.
Sabotage.
It just adds sabotage. Spock, sabotage the VCR.
And to do Spock, that to a Harry Potter movie.
Porn.
Harry Potter of all people, too.
Harry Potter. Now she says it's an injury she's not sure can ever be repaired.
Oh, get over it, lady.
Now her only hope is that it doesn't happen to someone else.
Wow.
Your first thing is you want to protect your child. And at that point, I felt like I let my child down.
Oh, give me a break. The kid immediately forget about it, just distract him and go, oh, wait, let's put it in this old other VHS we've got.
Look, here's a soccer ball.
Yeah, here's a ball. Let's go buy her a toy. She's over it. Come on.
Look, here's a pillow pet.
Mommy, this pillow pet looks like penis.
It's like a kid just ignores it. Yeah. They don't care.
Exactly. They have no idea what they're seeing. And then later, like 10 years down the line, when they realize it and they're completely scarred from it, that's whenever they go to the therapist.
What have they done to me?
All right. A British man who said he wasn't thinking clearly because his child is ill was arrested early Friday after he was accused of taking pictures under a woman's skirt at a Target store. I guess he wanted to know what made her snort. Alan Buckley. Alan Buckley. I have no idea what that means.
Bunch of horse shit.
Alan Buckley, 44, of Stallingbridge, Cheshire, in England, took a picture beneath a woman's skirt at the Target store about 7:45 p.m., according to Orlando Police arrest affidavit. The woman who was shopping at the store in the bakery area told police that she heard what sounded like a cell phone camera directly behind her, but neither reacted nor thought anything of it.
Oh, I wonder what that is.
Yeah,
oh, well.
Until someone who had seen what happened told her that Buckley had taken a picture just beneath her skirt.
I thought this was a joke.
One witness later told police that she saw Buckley take the picture, then get up and walk away quickly. Did he get down on the floor to do it?
Asshole!
Two witnesses and the victim then tried to stop Buckley, whom they said was using his phone while walking away from them. Yes, he was cherishing his trophy.
I know this is kind of piggish of me, but what did the girl look like?
Exactly, ooh, that's what I'm thinking.
Sexy oriental bitch, you know?
Hey!
Man. They have no real problem with that.
That close, man.
At the hospital, police made contact with Buckley. They're told that they found Buckley where... Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped a line. The victim told police that Buckley was wearing an Arnold Palmer Hospital for Children visitor sticker with his name on it. Dude.
I don't know what's going on with this guy.
Buckley. Right here, Buckley, Arnold Palmer Hospital for Children. Buckley. Wow.
So, okay, his child is sick, but he wanted to just get an upskirt shot, I guess?
Real fast. He really, really needed it. Sometimes you need things, and you go to the store to get them.
Well, it's like, you know, he needed a distraction from his life.
Yes.
He had the sick child and...
her ass makes up for it, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Yeah. At the hospital, police made contact with Buckley, who later provided a written statement. He said he'd not been thinking right because his child is in the hospital. He also said that he had spontaneously decided to take the picture, but later deleted it.
You're a...
Was this guy's name Bentley by any chance?
Bentley Buckley?
I deleted it after I emailed it to myself.
Genius.
Just picked up your sorry.
Man, I'm going to use this later. Sexy, sexy.
That guy needs like the tape from the last news story, and that would have helped him, and he wouldn't need this upskirt shot, right? The Harry Potter VHS.
He just needs to go pick up a new Magnavox VCR.
Yeah, at Walmart.
Yeah.
Cock-eyed.
Because they still sell those, apparently.
Yeah.
In Bizarro Land. A man accused of exposing himself at a shopping center in Perry County, Pennsylvania, faces charges after... Now, this is what's great. You know, it's not just that this guy, 35-year-old, pulls up next to a woman with his pants around his knees and... You know, decides to be like, hey, take a look at this. Do you want some of it? His name is Handy Wood.
Okay, boss.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Handy Wood.
Handy Wood.
His first name is Handy?
Yes. H-A-N-D-Y.
Ugh.
Yes, it is Handy. It's like, hey, lady, my name's Handy Wood. I got Handy Wood. Come take a visit with me.
Jack Handy
Wood? That's a fake name that guy gave the press, isn't it?
I honestly, if the police say that that's his name, it's got to be his name, right?
The guy should have been some kind of carpenter or something. You know?
Well, it certainly would have been better than a flasher.
Patrons performing sexual acts.
I've never understood the mentality that, do guys honestly think that if they flash their penis to women that the women are just going to break down? Like, well, oh my God, there's a penis. I need it.
Now it's the new thing is like a guy taking a picture of his junk and like, hey, you see what you like what you see? Women aren't like that. Guys can look at breasts and ass or whatever, but women don't see a penis and go, hey, I wonder what the guy looks like connected to that thing. They don't care, okay?
Guys are the visual creatures.
Your grandmother would give you a slap for that.
She would?
Ridiculous. All right, so in Ottawa, apparently you can do nude photo shoots in Ottawa just anywhere.
Nice.
Yeah, in Ottawa, it was anything but a regular photo shoot in the woods. Two women, 20-year-old cousins, one from Ottawa, the other one from Nova Scotia, answered an online post for nude models to strike poses in historic Gatineau Park. I don't even know. That's French-Canadian. I'm probably not pronouncing it right. It's probably something like, get your knee pick. But when the women showed up, their photographer wasn't as young and handsome as they had believed. He looked to be in his early 60s, and one cousin was too uncomfortable to strip naked for him.
You want to see the devil? There's the devil.
It looked like the guy with one tooth from MasterChef, didn't it?
Yeah, yes, it did. But the other was still game. Oh, well, that's nice. You know, you lose one, you still have the other. And the photo shoot was going well until they were approached by two hikers from a trail. The hikers didn't have a problem with the photo shoot, nor were they particularly that interested. They approached only to warn them that a naked man hiding in a bush was masturbating.
You know how to handle that situation.
The hikers went on their way, and the cousin who decided against modeling.
I just love that they're like, excuse me, hey, I see you guys are having a nice time taking a picture, but I just want you to know there's a guy over there in a bush naked jerking it. Okay, see you guys. I'm going to go on my hike.
Well, it's a really lovely day. We hate to waste it. Let's continue on the hike. The cousin who decided against modeling said she'd had enough surprises for one day. Headed back on the trail towards the parking lot, that's when the naked man emerged from the bush and started to follow her.
Uh-oh.
And she grabbed the stick.
Coincidentally, it was the photographer's cousin.
It's entirely possible. Maybe it was a setup just so the guy could do that. I'll take the pictures of the naked ladies. You just sit in the bush and do your thing.
Next time it's my turn to get in the bushes and jerk it.
She grabbed a stick and managed to scare him off into the woods, I guess like a bear. Scat! Get out of here! Naked man! Go back to your woodland creatures. So that's when she called police after she got back to her car. Quebec police are now on the lookout for the white man described as 5'9", about 91 kilograms, with a hairy chest and a beer belly.
A beer belly?
Rousedower!
Oh my God, it is!
Oh.
Rousedower's running around in the woods.
It's gotten really bad after that final sacrifice. You know, Troy left him, moved on, hooked up with Mike Pipper. Now Rousedower's all alone in bushes
in
the woods.
Get it on!
Troy McGregor!
It's not the first time the Mounted Royal Canadian Police have had trouble with naked men in Gatineau Park. Oh. A few summers ago, police have had so many complaints about a flasher on the trails that they assigned undercover officers to walk the trails as hikers.
Wow.
Good Lord, guys.
I don't get it.
Down. In fact, one flasher, Xavier Schuart, was later dubbed the Greasy Pig by police officers after he had oiled himself so much that he literally slipped out of the hands of an officer giving chase.
Holy shit.
Wow. These guys are something special.
They really are.
They say one man's trash is another man's treasure.
Think these things through, don't they?
Really, dude, I'm going to grease myself up. That way, if they try to catch me, I'll slip right out.
Wee, big boy.
Squeal like a pig.
You're
okay. Hooks it somewhere. Hooks it. A 23-year-old man pretended he suffered from a brain injury so an unsuspecting in-home nurse would change his adult diaper.
Who said that?
It was me. Eric Carrier turned himself into police Tuesday after a warrant was issued charging him with indecent exposure. Now, is it really indecent exposure if someone else exposed you?
Yeah, I mean, you're changing their diaper.
Under false pretenses, though.
What do you mean?
He pretended to need that service. he could have taken it and done it, you know, gone to the bathroom all by himself.
Shit in your pants and dive in and swim.
the carrier allegedly faked having a severe brain injury that would require him to wear an adult diaper. A nurse caring for him became suspicious. Hooks at police. Yeah, whenever he got
saw him doing a crossword puzzle.
Boner. Hooks at police detective Janet Bouchard said Carrier placed advertisements on Craigslist requesting services from in-home nurses. Okay, there's your first warning sign. If you're posting that you need in-home services on Craigslist, most likely you don't. Stay away.
Oh my God.
Yeah, what? Do people really go to Craigslist for that stuff? I guess they do.
In the advertisement, the carrier allegedly posed as his father and said he needed help caring for his son who suffered a brain injury in a car accident.
Aww.
He had no disability. He wasn't in a car accident, the officer said. When the nurse arrived at Carrier's home in March, the father was nowhere to be found and Carrier was at the home by himself and acting as if he were disabled. Oh, no.
You're crazy.
Hello, dear.
It's like, and then the phone rings. Like, hey, what's up? And she's like, wait a second.
I need nap change. The nurse stated that because the father wasn't home, she decided she didn't want to leave him without a clean diaper. Well, that's nice of her.
Aw, she didn't want it to be stinky poo poo pants, right?
Change them diapers. Yes.
Change your dipe, right?
Dipe time.
Just kidding.
He exposed himself and caused alarm to this nurse. He brought her there under false pretenses. I don't quite get it. The nurse was in the home less than an hour before the diaper incident occurred. Police said the visit was meant to be an introduction so the nurse could assess what type of care she needed to provide in the future. After some time, she was unsure if he actually needed nursing care. When no one called the nurse back to schedule future appointments, she called police to report what happened. I don't know. It sounds a little fishy. Maybe you this guy really is retarded. He needs to...
At least
get his diaper
your head
changed.
And put a fake scar on top or something.
Like get a get a pacifier, huh?
Or maybe just put a bunch of fake blood. Like hey, it's a recent injury.
What's the matter with you?
All right, that's news this week.
All right, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVD. I mean, all right, Bill. Thank you for doing the news.
It's time for the DVDs.
Yes, it is, Steven. Hey, how'd you know I was going to say that? But I wanted to say a lot of strange people this week on the news. A lot of people who just need to own pornography, am I right?
A lot of people that just like to show their willies.
Boy with boobs?
Excuse me?
It's funny, you know, I don't choose these stories on purpose. I kind of go down through FARC and look for, you know, crazy stuff. It just happened to be a week of people who like to expose themselves. So, you know, I guess it goes in waves.
All right, Bill, let's do some DVDs. What do you say, guys? Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's do some DVDs!
DVDs! HD Blu-ray standard definition!
DVDs!
DVDs, everybody! All right, Bill, what DVDs do we have this week?
All right, DVDs for Tuesday, June 14th,
giggling, laughing, thinking how funny it is.
2011. Starting off with Battle Los Angeles. Yeah, on DVD and Blu-ray. Or in the Blu-ray and DVD combo pack.
I like the whole concept of this movie, and I wanted to see it, but it got such abysmal reviews, I was like, eh, I'm going to wait till video.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe I'll rent it off of pay-per-view.
I mean, I dig Aaron Eckhart. I think he's good.
He's sexy.
Yes, he is.
He's just manly.
They say one man's trash is another man's treasure.
Absolutely. I'll check it out.
Bill?
What?
Never mind. Go ahead.
Who? I think the most important release of the week is Big Mama, Like Father, Like Son. Apparently with Martin Lawrence and some guy playing his son.
He's a genius.
Yep, because the world needed another Big Mama movie.
Absolutely badasses.
With an extended cut. Great. Just so we needed a longer Big Mama movie. Fantastic.
That's a bunch of horse shit.
Yes, it is. Moving on. I think this is the most exciting release on Blu-ray. The Boondock Saints Truth and Justice Edition.
I haven't got a clue.
All right, Boondock Saints, huh?
Yes, there was a firefight, apparently, and we all lost.
This is the sequel to the Boondock Saints?
No, this is the original Boondock Saints film.
Okay, so what was the name of the movie again?
The Boondock Saints Truth and Justice Edition. So this is a special edition. No, it's a Truth and Justice Edition, not a Ridge Racer Edition.
Oh.
Funny!
All right, okay. Well, now you sold me.
Yeah. Man, I love that score from Troy Duffy's rockin' band.
Yeah, I remember what they were called.
Shit?
What were they called originally? And then they changed their name to the Boondock Saints after the...
Oh, well, that was convenient.
Yeah, that's clever. And then all of those people... None of those people are his friends anymore, unless... They need to do a follow-up documentary to Overnight where he's like, I'm sorry.
It can be all about the Brood.
Yeah, that's what it was called, Bill. See, you knew what it was.
No, I looked it up on Wikipedia.
Oh, okay.
I don't claim to know that shit.
Bomb dropping on Beaver Claverville.
Oh, man. He did, you know, what he could with it. Except dressing up.
Spirit of Sancti.
Exactly.
I think some of the most disturbing stuff I've ever seen is Willem Dafoe as a woman.
It was a fucking ambush.
The ugliest woman I've ever seen.
I did feel like I got ambushed seeing him like that.
Yes, it is.
They had no idea what they were in for.
We sure did it.
No. All right, moving on. We have The Cincinnati Kid. With Steve McQueen on Blu-ray.
Never seen it.
Never seen it either. I know it's a Norman Jewison movie, and that involves poker or something.
Who said that?
Yeah. I think it's poker. I could be completely wrong.
I didn't say it.
Have you ever seen it?
And I'll be corrected, but...
All right, so I guess we got a movie we all got to watch now, right?
But I know it's got Tuesday Weld in it, who I've always found really, really attractive. Moving on... We have Hall Pass, the enlarged edition. Oh, aren't they clever? You know what? I'm just going to pass entirely on Hall Pass. I don't ever...
Why not?
Hall Pass, remind me of what this is.
This is the movie with Owen Wilson and Jason Sudeikis, Fairley Brothers... Both are married. They want
Hall Pass. Okay. Based on it being the Farrelly brothers, I'll check it out. They usually have some funny shit in their movies.
Yeah, maybe it's got Richard Jenkins in it with a voice box. I'll watch it then.
She's a strong robot.
You have a robot? Moving on, we've got Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince and Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix Ultimate Editions on Blu-ray.
Oh, so one of my God.
Oh, nice.
Shell out $50 for... I don't know if it's got the extended cut. Normally these films do.
I didn't see the last theatrical one. I didn't see that. And
oh, The Deathly Hallows.
Oh, has that come out yet on video?
I believe so, yeah.
Get yeah. it on.
All right.
It's seriously, massively boring. Just kind of nothing drags. Happens.
So they're saving it all up for the next one?
Exactly.
Like, we got to build up, and then you got to go see the next movie.
Yeah, it's 2.5 hours of build up. It feels like five.
Buddy!
Okay.
All right, and next we have Heavy Metal on Blu-ray.
Nice! Heavy Metal!
I'm going to shoot you in the face!
Hey! Why? What did I do? Heavy Metal.
Yeah, I've seen it like once or twice. It's just not it. I don't think it's ever really affected me in any certain way.
I've seen it a gazillion times, I think.
Really?
I've seen it a lot.
I've seen it a few times myself.
It's just one of those movies that, you know, you watch it when it's on. You know, I might want to own that just for shits and giggles.
It's the one with like the soundtrack from like. Blue Oyster Call.
Yeah, Sammy Hagar. It's got everybody. Devo. You know, big huge soundtrack. And basically, I think when it came out in theaters, you went to go see it and got stoned, right? And watch it in the theater.
Awesome.
That's what was going on.
Big breasted girl ride the dinosaur.
The strange bird, yeah. And the.
Yeah.
It's very bloody. I like it. Just for nostalgia alone, I'd want to own that, I think. What do you think, Steven?
I'll check it out.
Yeah, I think I already own it.
I'm going to blow you away right now.
Oh, my gosh.
I own
all right, next Blu-ray, Johnny Mnemonic.
Who gives
Johnny Mnemonic.
Johnny Mnemonic.
The best part about this movie is the dolphin.
No, I thought you were going to say Dolph Lundgren.
Dolph Lundgren's the best thing about the zoo. And the dolphin. Remember, he's like a holy man.
Dolph Lundgren dressed as a dolphin.
I want to ask you this. I've always heard that the movie was chopped to hell. Is this like some kind of extended or director's cut or something?
I don't believe so. It's just a basic release from Image Entertainment.
Because the movie is a mess.
I've never really read anything about it being chopped up. I just thought it was awful.
I thought it was like Dolph Lundgren's part was bigger, and his part got shrunk down where it doesn't really make any sense. And remember, he's like a holy man who's also
a street preacher that looks like Jesus.
He's a street preacher, but isn't he also like an assassin or something?
Yes, he is.
And for some reason, Ice-T's in the movie.
And he's not a dog in this one, right?
Who, Ice-T?
Yeah.
Oh, you're saying Tinker, okay.
I get them confused.
No, he's definitely not a dog in here, but he might as well be. Make as much sense.
Man, you're a dog.
Because you're going to be with Ice-T.
Oh, yeah. So, Johnny Mnemonic.
Johnny Mnemonic.
I just remember, it was kind of in the theater. It's like, did my brain just get jacked and, like, overloaded or something? I don't understand what the hell's going on in this. All I remember is the guy, Bill, we've talked about it before, the guy with the laser lasso on his thumb
or
something.
Yes, on his thumb, yes.
Yeah, that's badass.
I want a nail thumb thing like that. I'm looking to see here, like, if there's actual, a director's cut. And from what I understand, I guess there is. It just doesn't get into it on Wikipedia. Says the film premiered in Japan with a longer version that's closer to the director's cut. Different editing, more scenes with Takashi Kitano and Dolph Lundgren.
Okay, boss.
I always heard that the movie's directed by a painter.
Oh, a painter?
And... he's like a well-renowned painter, And he directed a movie, so it was kind of like,
Oh, yes, Robert Longo, famous in the 80s for his Men in City series, which depicted sharply dressed businessmen writhing in contorted emotion.
Are you Mexican?
So they're like, let's get this guy to direct this sci-fi William Gibson movie?
Yes.
So maybe not a good choice, I think.
No, probably not.
They should have gotten Darren Sarafian or something.
Yes. I have no idea who that is.
I don't get it.
Oh, sorry.
All right, next film is Kill the Irishman.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, kill that bastard. The only reason I mention it is because it's got Christopher Walken, a bloated Val Kilmer, Vinnie Jones, and the guy that was the Punisher in the last movie, Ray Stevenson.
Ah, yeah.
And I guess he's the Irishman that they have to kill.
He's a son of a bitch.
Oh, man, Val Kilmer's head's like a pumpkin now.
Poor guy.
Is he taking steroids or something?
I think he just doesn't care.
Oh. Hi, I'm Val Kilmer. I used to be Iceman. Now I'm Pumpkinhead.
No, now he just enjoys food.
No, he just... I don't know what he enjoys. He's enjoying something. That's for sure. Right, moving on. We have... I'll pass on that. Pass on that.
Please, give it to me.
Okay, I got one for you. Point Break on Blu-ray.
Asshole!
All right!
No, it's awesome. One of the greatest movies ever.
Snob.
Yeah, that guy's a Point Break snob. Johnny Utah, right?
Yeah, and this was pre-Gary Busey brain injury.
Yep, he's coherent in the movie.
Yeah, he is. It's not good for him.
He has a hilarious death scene, though, I think.
Yes, he does. Johnny Utah avenges him.
What? The movie... It's stupid, but it's fun, and you watch it. But
it's not a perfect movie.
Yeah, it's not a perfect film, Bill. But you know what?
But it's surfing in it, and that's nearly perfect.
Catherine Bigelow. When I saw this, I was like, one day she's going to get an Oscar for a movie.
Yeah,
she's going to be a female She's going to be the first female to get best director.
When I saw it, I thought, you know, she's going to get it for a mildly overrated, slightly boring Iraq war film.
It's an important movie, though.
Oh, very. Very.
Shoot your pants and dive in and swim.
I mean, we all agree that The Hurt Locker is a good movie, right?
It's not a perfect movie.
It's not a perfect film, though, Bill. That's what I'm saying.
It's not.
I want a perfect film, and it's not.
You know, it's no Shakespeare in Love.
But you know what? Now that some time has passed, I'm glad she won. It's a solidly directed film. She's a badass director. She really is.
Absolutely.
I don't know what the hell is going on with Point Break. It's the most ridiculous storyline I've ever seen. But it's awesome.
Robbing surfers that follow the tides.
That's right. And Johnny Utah, an ex-football player who's now in the FBI, goes undercover as a surfer to get in good with the server bank robbers who are addicted to adrenaline. The adrenaline rush. 100% pure adrenaline, right?
To the extreme.
And falls in love with Lori Petty. That's the most unrealistic moment
that,
in the movie.
That was a little forced because, you know,
I'm
Lori Petty.
Draw the line of possum.
Maybe if she was in her tank girl getup. Maybe.
You're crazy.
All right, and moving on to the last Blu-ray DVD, we have Red Riding Hood Alternate Cut.
Cut?
Yeah, because the first cut wasn't good enough.
So the theatrical cut, they don't want to release that, I guess.
Yeah, Catherine Hardwicke was like, you know what, that wasn't very good. Let me try again.
Nuts, flakes, and fruitcakes.
I've heard that movie's a mess, too, kind of like Johnny Mnemonic.
Well, you know what? It's Catherine Hardwicke, and name a movie she hasn't made that's not a mess.
Name another movie she did, and I'll tell you.
Twilight.
Who gives
a She did. She was known for, there was a movie with Holly Hunter that she did a number of years ago. Oh, crap that she got some fame for. 13. 13?
13. Oh, yeah.
13. Yeah. That was about it.
Her ass makes up for it, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. I get nothing.
Yep. So, yeah, that's DVDs for this week.
All right, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs. I will be picking up Point Break on Blu-ray, huh?
Why not?
Awesome.
Johnny Mnemonic, huh?
Now, Johnny Mnemonic is where they had the base above the bridge, right? That's where they had the dolphin?
Yes.
Okay,
I can't remember.
That
giggly
wasn't
and
entirely
laughing,
confident.
Thinking how funny it is.
All right, sorry I laughed there, Jamie Oliver. God forbid we find some entertainment, right?
Such a sourpuss.
All right, Bill, thanks for doing the DVDs this week.
You're welcome.
Give it up for William. He was never funnier.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week. Try the veal. And scene.
All right, everyone, that was episode 239 of Nowhere Mulberry. Thank you for joining us this evening. If you would like to go to nowheremulberry.com, you can find a link to Mulberry Old School, which is on our forum. I guess I should say find a link to our forum, which you'll find Mulberry Old School.
Or just go to nimforum.com.
Yes, go to nimforum.com. Also, Bill, you could follow us on – you'll find links to follow us on Twitter or Facebook and stuff like that. Or send us an email at nimpodcast@gmail.com. All right. Now, Bill, just real quick, I'm going to now retrieve Twin IM for this week, and we'll play it here at the end of the show as a fun little treat. All right. Now retrieving it. Here you go, dude. Sorry, it's late. Oh, it's all right, Ross. Right, guys?
No, but we'll accept it nonetheless.
It was a pain in the ass, Ross. You should have gotten it sooner. Right, guys?
Don't let it happen again.
Hammer Pants Adam. Okay, I'm done killing time, and here is Twin IM Episode 5.
I was really right about to speak. Welcome to This Week in NIM / Twin IM. This week we'll be covering episodes 5, 6, and 7. Now that's not to say that any one of these episodes isn't chocked full of NIM goodness.
NIM nuggets.
NIM little gooey golden nuggets. But it's just to say that there wasn't enough worth mentioning. No.
Well, also that if we would like to, you know, get into later shows where other important NIM historical moments happen, we need to compress some of these, so... This is our first compression show.
Yes, it is. Okay, so...
let's start it off with episode 5.
October 1st, 2005. So let's... this is the first time they get a voicemail, and there's some question as to, is this authentic? What's going on here? And you could tell that Mulberry Bill is a little, what would the word be? Hesitant? Or,
skeptical.
Skeptical.
Now, guys, before we go any further, we got our first ever voicemail comment. Do you guys want to hear it?
Yay!
That's incredible.
All right. I thought no one cared about us.
I don't think they do.
The sad thing is, you could tell that Bill, like, when he first heard they had a voicemail, he was, like, really happy about it. Like, oh, good, I thought no one cared about us. Just listen to it.
Hey,
I thought no one cared about us.
I don't think they do.
Hello, this is a fan from Great UK. I love Nowhere Mulberry. It's great. Daystrom, Vanessa, Stephen, and Bill. Oh, girl, you're quite disturbing about your old people dying on the bus. Thanks, guys. Great show. Keep it up.
All right.
Who the hell was that?
As a fan from Great Britain.
And apparently, she said something about it's disturbing about the people dying on the bus.
Bill was making fun of the old people who died last week.
Yeah.
In the...
I'll make the comment again. Listen, great. These old people were old.
These old people were old.
They were dying anyways. The woman that caused the explosion had a friggin' oxygen tank.
As usual, I'm going to have to ask you all to ignore Bill. Looking around, I see you're all two steps ahead of me.
Hey, they had a long life. Why not go out in flames?
Oh, Billy.
All right.
That's just a classic insight into the mind of Bill. That's awesome.
I know. And Bill was pretty dang harsh in these earlier episodes. Like Vanessa would be reading a story and be like, a 7-year-old boy was hit by a car. I'd be like, ha ha.
Now, guys, I noticed something in our shows. I hear a predator sound. This is what it sounds like. Did you guys hear that?
Yeah.
Let me play it again. Now, that's Steven breathing. At first, I thought it was the Predator, but then I went back and listened to the Predator. It's very close, wouldn't you say?
Very close. I wish I had a dollar for every time he's been giving crap.
No,
I've got a new headset, so it's not directly underneath my face, so hopefully off to the side.
The funny thing is I watched the Doom trailer. I actually saw it in front of Serenity, and I was like, wait, is that Steven? Oh, no, wait, that's the movie trailer. Steven's breathing's in the movie trailer.
That's awesome. So now let's move on to episode 6, October 8, 2005. Now, here we have a conversation that's always stood out in my mind. It's Vanessa and Bill talking about, they're talking about Bill's library, and
it's just another insight into the mind of Bill.
Yeah, exactly.
This enigma that we call Mulberry Bill.
That's a perfect way to set it up.
I had to sit through the entire ordeal.
Hey, you only got the text messages of it. You were there in your library.
Yeah.
That's all where he goes, right?
That's a great thing.
That's where I hang out. I really don't need to go anywhere except my library. I have my fridge, my computer. I have a bucket that I go to the bathroom in, and the maid comes in and empties it out every couple days.
And you wonder why you're single now? Do you have a bucket of pee?
Well, you know, the bucket of pee doesn't really smell or anything. I'm single because I choose pornography over women.
Okay, let's change the subject rapidly.
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 That's awesome.
So that was pretty good. And that one's always stood out in my mind. It's funny because I think a lot of people can relate to that.
I think they can, yeah. Having a bucket of pee and a big stack of porn right next to each other.
All right. On episode 6, we have a drop that is born. Here it goes.
They should have just flashed Maggie Grace's ass in those panties again.
Oh, God.
Jeez, pervo.
Pathetic.
Hey, I'm a historian of ass.
There you go.
It's foggy.
Yeah.
Well, see you later.
This is very, very Bill heavy.
This is a very Bill-centric.
Yeah, it is.
All right, so that's pretty much it for episode 6. Moving on to episode 7, title, Dude, He's Sleeping.
Now, the way Bill says it's so great.
Now, this is the first episode where it's just Jason and Bill, and it really feels like a later episode. You know what I'm saying? It feels like a classic Nowhere in Mulberry show. But Steven calls in a little bit later, and this is pretty much what happens.
Right. Now, we watched My Name is Earl this week, and it's a good show, but I don't think it held up to the previous weeks. It wasn't gut-busting funny, but it had some chuckles in it.
Yeah,
the premise
was the one, Steven sleeping. Dude, he's sleeping.
Are you serious? Steven. Steven.
Yes?
Were you sleeping?
Nah, zoned out watching TV over here.
Dude, you were snoring.
You were sleeping.
You were snoring, man.
I was?
Yeah.
You were sleeping, man.
You were going, that's gold, Jerry.
That was great.
You know, talking about shows, I had no idea what was going on.
So
hey, we'll move on quick, all right?
Sorry.
Did you get to see Lost, or?
That was so great.
That was hilarious.
I could hear everything going on. I was out.
Poor Steven. He's tired. Tired little guy. Little
I've
fella.
Been bicycling all morning.
Do you want to hang in there for the rest of the show? Or do you want
yeah,
to
that's
do,
cool. All
right. We're just going to cover My Name is Earl real quick, okay?
Yeah. Okay.
So that's pretty much it for episode 6. In terms
that's episode
of,
7.
Or episode 7. That's,
yeah.
But of noteworthy moments. But awesome episode. And I think that's pretty much it for our first compression show. We'll see you next week.
All right. Thanks, guys. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Adam and Ross. Wow, that was hilarious, man. That shit was funny.
Wasn't there a point where Steven said he was just resting his eyes?
He was just zoning out watching TV.
Oh. Zoned out?
No, you said you were resting your eyes last week. No, the week before on the show. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Never mind.
I'll sit here and I'll listen to you and I'll close my eyes.
Yeah.
Sleepy Steven.
But, you know, you're just resting your eyes because they're tired. That's what it is.
people always think I fall asleep a lot, you know, and I'm not saying that sometimes I do, not all the times, but when I bend my head over, it closes my breathing, and I make the snorts that sound like I'm asleep. So, and I've been sitting there wide looking at somebody, and they'll go, "We thought you were asleep," and my eyes are wide open looking at them.
That's creepy, though. You're sleeping with your eyes open.
Well, he's never sure if someone's going to try to assassinate him.
Bill, did you like those old clips?
I'm an asshole.
Do you remember that stuff?
Yeah, I do. And I still stand by the fact that the old people were old.
Yeah, that was silly.
Because I do remember that story.
Yeah, that was during the Katrina. But it's just funny listening to that old stuff. Again, I'll say sound quality, horrible. But I think we recorded at 64 kilobits when we first started. Yeah. I think it might have been around this time that I switched. I'm going to boost up to 128. And then it got a little bit better. But it's just, you know, really old. You know, it was recorded on a reel-to-reel. Yeah.
Yes. And the clips, you know, they sound a little over-modulated from the compression. I think it's fine.
But Adam and Ross, you guys are doing a great job. It's really funny.
That was hilarious.
I'm glad that you sent that in time for it to be played on the show. It's a good way to end the show. So, guys, thanks, everybody, for listening. Bill, Steven, thanks for joining us this week. I mean, what? You guys are always here. What am I talking about? Thank you for listening. Laura, hopefully we'll see you next week. All right, guys. See you later.
See ya.
Bye.
Later.
You guys might be sitting at home watching this, giggling, laughing, thinking how funny it is.
Come on. That's a bunch of horse shit.
You know how to handle that situation.
Flakes and fruitcakes.
Now this is podcasting.
They say one man's trash is another man's treasure.
Asshole!
Who gives
a I'm gonna shoot you in the face.
Okay, boss.
You're crazy.
I thought this was a joke.
Don't be stupid.
You just picked up your sorry.
What's the matter with you? I'm gonna blow you away right now.